much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Now that we found love, what are we gonna do?
What happened now?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Oprah, Uma, Oprah.
Are you kidding me?
Actually, Ben, would you mind if I talk to Leslie alone?
Actually, Dave, I'd like to talk to you.
I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Leslie.
Well, I want to talk to you, and if not, then I'd like to talk to Leslie.
Well, I'd like to talk to Ben, and then I'd like the three of us to talk together.
Well, then I'll talk to Ben, and then you, and then I'll talk to you, and then you'll talk to each other, and then we'll all three talk, Ben.
All right.
So, who's talking now?
And now.
Studio's down here. Let's go. Hustle, people. Come on.
Our feature presentation.
Not a little hustle at this time of the morning.
No.
So.
Now, we're ambling, really, is what we're
basically,
doing.
Basically, yeah.
Straggling, really.
Trying to get in place, trying to rebuild the studio. Start from scratch, and then begin the show.
I don't like this new intern, I'll tell you that.
Why? What's the new intern?
I'm out of time for this kid. What's his name? Alan?
Alan.
Oh, Alan.
Yeah. He's too peppy for 5:30 a.m.
Yeah, we get up and do it on a daily basis, and he seems to be, he's got the energy of like four of us.
Yeah, I know.
He's handling the bad news better than we are. He's like, hey, Beer Mug, how's it going? What's going on, dude? How you feeling? You know, it's just like, dude, dial it back, right?
And then he's like, hi, Bean, are you there? And there's nothing. He goes, is he ignoring me? And I said, good chance. So he walks out, and then Bean goes, who was that?
Who's that guy? Well, hopefully I'll never have to meet him, because that's too much pep. I'm sorry.
He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's fine.
But there needs to be some kind of volume and energy level that you can turn down a little.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Just a bit.
Yeah, he might be fine at, sometime after 4 p.m. I think he might be fine. I wouldn't mind the dude at
correct.
All. But
yeah.
Not this time of day.
Yeah.
So, he's a cold shower is what he is. All right, here's how I want to start today. This is great news. And I'd like for the record to say, you used to make fun of me all the time because people always die. And, you know, yesterday the guy got his testicles, you know, practically ripped off by crocodiles. So it's not always good news in the morning. But I do bring, you know, the human interest and the lighter stories and the good news occasionally.
Sometimes.
This time of day.
Yeah.
And this is one I think you guys will like. Well, it does involve a high school student in a coma. But listen, Maggie Meyer is her name. She went to or goes to Blue Valley Northwest High School in Overland Park, Kansas. She fell ill back in November of 2008. She's a freshman in high school, rushed to the hospital, barely conscious, having seizures. Shortly after that, she fell into a coma, which lasted for 2 months. By the way, jumping ahead, she is fine. She's back at school.
All right.
She is and was a basketball star in the school. And the reason this article has come out and the reason that this is so amazing is what she was diagnosed with was called Mycoplasma meningoencephalitis, a intense form of meningitis. So she's in a coma. They don't know what's going to happen, how serious it is, if she's ever going to come out. She's completely unresponsive. She is completely unconscious.
Okay.
But then she started from her bed making the motion for shooting baskets.
What?
While she was in a coma because she was a basketball star for the team, right?
Did they bring in the announcer?
She shoots, she scores! Well, her family moved her and put her into a chair from time to time, started handing her beach balls, and put a basketball hoop in her room where she would shoot baskets.
All right.
With her eyes closed and completely otherwise unresponsive, like it was a muscle motion.
So she's still in a coma at this point.
Yes, she's still in a coma. She's not awake and playing. The doctor said, her neurologist said, that basketball was so ingrained as one of her basic instincts that her body remembered how to do it, even though she was not conscious or able to do other things while she was gone.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
And she makes baskets 80% of the time.
Well, it doesn't give a stat. I doubt that.
Really. Who's got the heart?
You don't see her dad jumping in front of the ball and go, not in my house! You don't see that happening. Anyway, she did eventually wake up, as I said, after 2 months. It took her many months for her body to recover. She had to relearn everything, you know, walking and eating and everything like that. But by her sophomore year, she had returned to basketball. She was ready to play basketball again for the school.
So, how about that?
That's amazing.
I mean, the human body, the human mind, it's just incredible. And, you know, we see stories like every year you see stories that, you know, people just can't explain. They don't understand how it works or why.
How the mind works that way, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, good times.
Wow.
Very cool.
How about that? A positive story from Bean.
See, I'm just saying. I want you to make a note of this. It may not happen again until, you know, summer. But
where do we put these notes? We take a lot of notes. I don't know where we put them.
There is no book.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're very talented, and I strive to be everything you are.
Thank you. Brand new internet roundup today.
Yes.
Oh, it's a good one.
It is a good one. Yeah, I was watching them last night. They're fantastic.
Did you see the president of Finland's husband? Did you see
that?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, who could blame him?
Love that.
Who could blame him?
Yeah.
Is he human? Is he a man?
Lisa, he's at a state dinner. He's sitting next to a princess from some country, and the camera's right on him, and he's basically got his face in her chest looking at her boobs while she's turned the other way. He's just doing everything he can to look down her top.
But here's the funny part. She turns to see him, and you know how guys then turn away so they don't get caught?
Uh-huh.
He's about a beat and a half behind turning away.
Yes.
So she sees him, and he's like, oh, okay. He looks around.
Oh, my God. Look, president of Finland?
Yeah.
He's the husband of the president of Finland. Any guy who's sitting next to a hot chick at dinner is going to take a peek if he can, but usually it's not on camera. Usually it doesn't get uploaded to the internet for everyone to see and embarrass your wife and your country.
Nor is it done so badly.
Embarrassing. I love it.
It's
want that guy to be the husband of my president.
His wife is not happy, I'll tell you right now. He slept on the couch last night.
Yep. His wife needs to step it up. That's all I'm saying. Also on today's show, we have we have Dr. Drew. We talked to him on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new Kevin and Bean scientific survey I think you will find fascinating, where Bean tries to act like he's normal. Let's see. We are going to take calls from people who began to regret what you named your kid. We've talked about kids' names before a lot, including celebrities and what they name their kids. And why would you name your kid this? Because he's going to get beat up his whole life.
Right.
Or he's going to have to at least explain what it means every time he brings it up. There are a lot of parents who name their kid something. They're happy with it at the time. And then later they go, maybe that one wasn't so good.
What if your name was Asshore?
For example.
Yeah.
Great example. Yeah.
So they have regrets now. They wish they hadn't done
that. I was surprised at the numbers of how many people admit to, I blew it when it came to naming my kid. I wish I'd chosen something else.
We have Ken Marino from Wanderlust on the program today. Can't wait for that movie.
Oh, it looks great.
I don't know if you saw the video. Ralph brought us the story yesterday that is it the BAFTAs being with Adele?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
In the BAFTAs, which is their Grammys.
Well,
their Academy Awards?
Their Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Then
I take it back. It's not the BAFTAs. The BAFTAs are their Academy Awards, and then they have whatever their music award is, their equivalent to the Grammys.
I think this was Best Album.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if you've seen the video, but she got up and got a standing ovation, Best Album of the Year. And she started talking, and I'm not kidding, maybe she got 20 seconds in, maybe 25. And then the host of the show walked out to the podium and interrupted her and said, I'm really sorry to do this, but we need to go to Blur. And they turned and then Blur started playing.
Oh, you're kidding.
And Adele's just standing there. She just won the Best Album of the Year.
They don't have time for that?
Right.
She's the biggest star in the world, certainly in Britain. And she has won the biggest prize on the biggest show of the biggest night of their entertainment.
And at least here we bring up the music slowly and you go, uh-oh, they better wrap it up.
They hear the music. Do it gently.
Yeah. He walks out and just plain interrupts. Throws it to Blur. She flips off the cameras, and it's awesome.
Oh, my God!
Well, at least it was Blur. At least it was worth it.
Yeah, exactly. At least they went to Blur. So we got that coming up. Plus, we got the King of the Swamp people today, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Troy Landry.
Troy Landry.
The sun rises on the first day of alligator season.
Yeah.
It's the day King of the Swamp Troy Landry has been waiting a whole year for.
Boy, look how pretty. Oh, it makes me feel like singing. Sun's coming up. I got cakes on the griddle. Thank God I'm a swamp man.
We got that guy.
Oh, my God.
That has to cut you deep that he's the king of the swamp people and you're not, Kevin.
You know what? I don't want to be the king of the swamp people. I'm okay.
Oh, no?
I'm okay with him being it. I mean, there are other people on the show I don't want to be king. So I'm happy with him being king.
Okay.
He's a good choice. I'll be a loyal servant. I do not exactly want to live in the swamp. That seems bad. So anyway, that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat coming up next.
Hey!
That song is just as cowbelly as it was the first time I heard it.
He did say that yesterday.
Yeah, it's got an awful lot of cowbell in it. That's all. I'm still not over that.
But then you pointed out that it hasn't diminished in the amount of times.
That they haven't altered the song in any way since they released it.
Right.
Well, my point is that just true. For for 2011 and now 2012. It's just more cowbell than you expect to hear in any one record on the radio.
Agreed.
That's all. It's just a surprise to me.
I love it.
All right. It's time for Ralph Garman. He is in here. It's 5:54. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Everyone, relax. We can all exhale now. We now know the sex of Kourtney Kardashian's expected baby. Yeah. I know you've all been dying to find out. Because it could have been anything. Any number of seven or eight possibilities, I guess.
I think two.
Oh.
Possibilities.
Just two?
Yeah.
It's going to be a baby girl. Be the second child, of course, for Kourtney Kardashian and her drunken, abusive boyfriend, Scott Disick.
Allegedly.
I
said that perfectly, didn't I?
Well, he's a drunk. I mean, that's been documented.
Yeah.
They've shown plenty of footage on that reality show of him getting S-faced and being abusive to help and family and friends.
He's not nice.
He's not good.
That's what you're saying.
He wears ascots, if that means anything.
A lot of them.
Yeah. That's all you need to know about him. And he's a collar popper, too. Whoa, yep. Freaking collar poppers.
There are a few things that you can really judge people on instantly.
That is an immediate flag of douchebaggery when you can see the guy still popping the collar. Word is, Kris Kardashian, Kourtney's mom, has already got the kid a calendar deal and her own spin-off reality show. So, that's a good grandma right there, taking care of the kid. Bobby Brown, less than a week after the funeral of his ex-wife, Whitney Houston, is reportedly working on a tell-all book about the singer and his longtime wife.
Yeah, he's ugly.
That's special.
Yeah.
This just gets better and better, this whole Whitney Houston situation. I don't know if anyone saw the photos yesterday, but the National Enquirer will feature a picture of Whitney Houston on the cover that they're claiming is the final picture of Whitney Houston. And that would be because it's a photo someone snapped of Whitney in her coffin.
No. Yay! No.
Probably using a cell phone at the private viewing at the funeral home in Newark, New Jersey before her funeral. National Enquirer, of course, also the same tabloid that had the open casket shot of Elvis back in 1977, famously. That was the last photo of the king.
No way. Not ever.
It's, I felt like that kind of made them, the National Enquirer. I mean,
that was their
coming out party, was that Elvis.
They used to be the Weekly World News before that. They used to be, my mom slept with Bigfoot and aliens stole my lunch and all those kind of stories.
But can't we picture Whitney? I mean, don't you know what that looks like?
It looks exactly like Whitney Houston.
Yeah,
photo.
Right. Yeah.
Laying down.
With her eyes closed.
Yeah.
And somebody, I guess, close to her is the one who took that picture and sold
it,
right?
Had to be somebody at the private viewing. That's the only time the casket was open.
Probably Bobby.
Or maybe a worker at the funeral home, perhaps, could sneak in. I don't know.
Still. Now, they're not going to bury her with all that jewelry, are they? You don't put $500,000 worth of jewelry on her and then put that in the ground, right?
I don't know. He's referring to the fact she is wearing her favorite purple dress, $500,000 in jewelry.
Wow.
Gold slippers. Apparently she was dressed to the nines for her farewell.
Bobby would be digging that up the next day trying to get the jewelry.
I need some new rims. Octavia Spencer, who's nominated for an Oscar this Sunday, of course, the Academy Awards, you can watch them on ABC, told Parade magazine her first gift to herself since she got nominated will be to get a boob job.
Really?
Yes. All right. She said the surgery won't happen until after late 2012 because she's got a movie to finish filming, but she said she wants to get the surgery because I'm going into my 40s. I want my boobs where they were when I was 17.
That's so hot.
Let us see she's got her priorities in the right place.
That's correct.
Ladies, she's Oscar nominated. She's a classy dame. Think about it, won't you? And since we're in the category of boobs, Christina Hendricks of TV's Mad Men, which, by the way, is just around the corner, people. I know it seems like we've waited forever, but I think March 25th is the return of Mad Men. I cannot wait. The new trailer, by the way, on AMC.com, if you want to go there, is it's all Betty. Betty's back.
Really?
Betty's back.
Betty's back is the theme, and you see her just being all bitchy and frosty all over the place.
Boobies!
Christina Hendricks said when she was young, she was the victim, as so many Hollywood celebrities claim to be, of bullying in high school. She was not the sexy dame she is now.
Right.
Apparently, she says she was a goth kid in high school. Dyed her hair about 42 different colors, shaved it in the back, wore a lot of black makeup. She would walk the hallways, and there was a long corridor. She talks about where they had lockers on either side, and kids would sit on top of them and spit at you as you walked down the hallway.
All right.
That's nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
She recalled being called horrible and ugly both by kids and, wait for it, family members.
Family?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, brothers, probably.
She said she found her place with the theater kids, as so many geeks and misfits do. If I could go back and tell my 14-year-old self anything, it would be, don't worry, you're going to be exactly what you want to be doing, and those people who are assholes now are still going to be assholes in 20 years.
That's true.
That is absolutely true.
Does it get better, does she say?
She does not mention it gets better, okay. But I think that is sort of inferred.
All right.
Or implied. I think she implies I infer. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. That's correct, yeah.
So there we go.
That's a serious rack.
You know what I love about the internet, Ralph, is that if somebody like Christina Hendricks comes around that everybody wants to see naked and she hasn't taken any naked pictures, people will just Photoshop her naked so that they can make their own.
Yes.
I think that's wonderful.
Done it.
It's like a magic box, the internet. You can just put any fantasy you have into it and it just becomes reality.
So am I going to see some jugs or am I wasting my time here?
Today is celebrity birthdays. Actor-director Peter Fonda. Not only a star in his own right, but his sister's Jane Fonda. His dad was Henry Fonda, long line of acting royalty from the Fonda. 72
Oscar nominated, too, Peter Fonda.
That's
remember?
Right, yes. Get your motor running. Head it on the highway. Easy Rider.
Don't know. Okay.
Easy Rider was his big claim to fame.
Got it.
Kristen Davis of Sex and the City fame is 47 years old today. Actress Niecy Nash from Reno 911 and other projects is 42. Lasse Johansson. Guitarist and keyboardist of the Cardigans is 39. Yes, don't worry, folks. We'll bring you some hard-hitting Kevin and Bean interview tape later on in the
yes,
show
Yes, let's do.
39 years old today.
Actress, one of the dudes literally fell asleep during the interview while we were on the air.
Yeah, and no one loved Bean more than the female lead singer of the Cardigans.
Nina Pearson.
Nina Pearson. Oh, she hated him
she
so much.
She loved Bean so much.
Yeah.
Actress Kelly MacDonald.
Oh,
she's on Boardwalk Empire. She talks with
best.
That accent. I wish she'd forget it because no one's buying it. It's fake. She's 36 years old. Aziz Ansari is 29. Emily Blunt, also 29 today. And Dakota Fanning.
How
Charlotte's Web fame. I Am Sam fame. Perhaps one of our best young actresses working today. She's 18 years old.
Yay!
She's had a career longer than most people in show business already at 18. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
King of the Swamp People, royalty on the program. Troy Landry joins us from the TV show Swamp People coming up in just a few minutes. Also, our old friend Dr. Drew will be here in a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. How about this Wanderlust movie? We were just talking about it during that song there. This is the one that everybody wants to go see, right?
Oh, yeah.
It looks great.
Because who's better than Paul Rudd?
No one. Every no movie one. Paul Rudd is in, I'll watch because it's
well,
funny.
Paul Rudd's brother in the film, Rick, is played by actor Ken Marino, who we are huge fans of. And I think Ken also wrote or co-wrote this movie, too. Wanderlust opening up everywhere tomorrow. Hey, Ken, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
What's happening, Kevin and Bean? Is this Kevin or Bean?
This is both of us. I'm Kevin, and that's Bean.
I'm Bean.
and Lisa's there,
and
right?
And Lisa, that's right, Ken.
I love it.
Good morning.
I'm looking at the your webpage, and I don't know. Kevin looks very happy. Bean looks sad.
Yeah, well, that was a candid
photo that was taken that proved to be accurate for the whole duration of the show, actually.
Yeah.
So.
Kind of the comedy tragedy mask of, of web pages
right.
for your
That's
station.
Us. Exactly. Wow, it's amazing. You've summed up something that I don't think anybody's ever put their finger on before, which is how much Kevin enjoys his life and how much I can't wait for sweet death. So, well done, Ken. Very perceptive. Let me talk about Ken Marino for a second. And here's what
Let's
I like about you and your career. You have managed to have the knack, partly because you create a lot of your own stuff, but partly because you must just have a good nose for comedy. But you have managed to find projects
I have a big
that people
nose, that's for sure.
Yes. People are passionate about. Children's Hospital, great example. No one just sort of likes Children's Hospital. Either you love it or you hate it, right? Party Down. People are obsessed with Party Down. You can't walk down the street with people asking you when the Party Down is coming back, right? Veronica Mars was the same way. Wet Hot American Summer, one of the great cult films of the last decade. I mean, it's unbelievable how many things you've been involved in that people just adore.
Yeah, thanks, man. I've been very lucky to hang out with some funny people and be in the right place at the right time for those particular projects. I mean, I recognize that they're kind of culty, cool things to be on, and I'm very happy that I
it's fun.
On them.
Well, part of the problem with culty is that a lot of times they go away, but you've managed to get on some that are sticking around for a while, like Children's Hospital, which is awesome, and that's still continuing, right?
Yeah, yeah. We just finished up this fourth season, and I came on as producer this year, and so I've been a little bit more involved behind the scenes. And David Wayne and I have worked together for 20 years since we were in college and in this sketch comedy group called The State. And so, you know, we like working together, and we like kind of creating things. And Children's Hospital. I think you're going to really like this next season. It's pretty outrageous.
You also wrote one of my favorite movies, Role Models, which is great.
I like that movie.
I was talking with my producer Dave, and he said exactly how I felt, which was when he saw it, he thought, "Hey, that's good." And then you see it again, and you go, "Wow, that's really funny." And then it sort of grows every time you see it. You like it even more. Which is
well, we like to have you come in with no expectations and then build from there.
I like it. It's a good plan.
We like now, you to think that it's going to be terrible, and then you can only go up.
Right.
I'm glad you said that, because this is what I wanted to ask you, Mr. Ken Marino, talking about Wonderlust opening everywhere Friday, and that is, when you put Jennifer Aniston in a movie and the white hot spotlight of everything that surrounds Jennifer Aniston, it's kind of hard to keep the expectations low, because people go, "Wow, that's Jennifer Aniston. She's a big-time movie star. This movie must be great," when they walk in, right?
I'd like to think so. Jen is a super talented, super funny lady, and so, she was on our dream list to get her for the part of Linda, and we just thought that putting Paul and Jen together would be, a great combination, since they've worked together and they have a shorthand and they're friends in real life, and so... we hope that people are excited to see it, because Jen's in it and Paul's in it. And
I tried to figure out how to ask this nicely, but I can't really figure out a way. But Jennifer Aniston at a nudist camp, how much are we going to see?
You're going to have to go see the movie.
Come on now! Come on, Ken!
What do you want me to do?
Do you want me to ruin the whole thing?
No,
not the whole thing. Just give me a taste.
All right, just
tell me, wet my beak.
Are we going to see one, or are we going to see two? Why don't we just start with that?
Go see it.
You're going to have to see the movie.
Is it true, my communist friend Ken Marino, that there is footage of Jennifer Aniston in bed with a bunch of people that got cut and did not make the film?
It is true that Jennifer Aniston is in the bed with several women in the trailer. And you will have to see the movie to see if it's in the movie.
I'm coming after you.
I hate you.
I love you.
Let's play this clip, because this will sell the movie better than anything we could say. This is so funny. You are playing Rick. You are Paul Rudd's brother in the film. And let's see if Ken Marino's character is just a little bit annoying in Wonderlust.
There he is. Hey. Hey, moron homeless brother. Where's your cardboard box? Hey, get over here. I'm going to fill up your soup bowl. Oh, come on. You lose your sense of humor when you lost your apartment?
But I want to stay in my apartment, even though I can't pay my mortgage. I'm all upset.
And Linda, look at you. Your body is ridiculous. You've been working out. My God. Yeehaw.
Rick, I think you're making everybody uncomfortable.
Oh, everybody knows what I mean.
I think you're making everybody uncomfortable.
Ken, we are in, man. We can't wait for Wonderlust. I'm so glad we had a chance to talk to you. Please come in and see us sometime.
I would love to. You guys, I love your show, and thank you for having me on it.
You bet. We're in Texas.
Please go see Wonderlust.
We will. Thanks a lot for listening to The Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. By the way, tomorrow, Adam Carolla is going to be in studio revealing the secrets of Celebrity Apprentice. He was so funny on episode one, Kevin.
When you say revealing the secrets, you mean he's not going to say anything about it?
He's going to tell us what he can, I think. But yeah, they do. They pretty much do keep you under wraps.
Clamp them down.
Stuff hasn't aired yet. Go to kevinandbean.com right now, or krock.com, and check out the picture of the day. King of Mexico does a great job of putting something funny or humorous or topical or interesting up every single day. And this is something you don't see all the time. A huge star, in this case, Adele, who, by the way, is only 23. She looks like she's 40. But anyway, she's flipping off an audience. I mean, a big old middle finger right there from the stage of the Brit Awards that were held over the weekend. And it's pretty hilarious. You don't see big, big stars really throwing the bird very often.
Well, when you're watching the Grammys or the Oscars or the Emmys or something, and somebody starts going along, they have the orchestra start playing the music. And the people know, oh, no, that music's coming. Now it means I need to get off stage. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that at the Brit Awards, which was really weird. They just had the host walk out to the podium and literally just start talking over her and interrupt and toss it to a band.
I've never heard of that before.
Now, this is for Album of the Year, so this is like the biggie, and here's some of the audio.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And what's amazing is how little time they gave her before they came out and interrupted her.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Nothing makes me prouder, yeah, than coming home with six Grammys and then coming to the Brits and winning Album of the Year. I'm so, so proud to be British and to be flying our flag, and I'm so proud to be in the room with all of you.
And I can't believe I'm about to
cut me off.
I'm so sorry.
Can I just say then, goodbye, and I'll see you next time round, yeah?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Blur!
Introduces Blur, and Blur starts playing.
Poor Blur. So, I mean, that sucks for them.
So what's funny is she, just before leaving the stage, she says, I'll see you next time. She flips off the entire crowd, really mainly the people who made the decision to cut her
right.
off.
Right. But, I mean, I haven't timed it, but they certainly give her less than 30 seconds, right?
She couldn't talk because people were yelling and cheering.
Applauding.
I mean,
yeah,
she had to wait for that to die down.
It's the freaking Album of the Year, the biggest prize of the entire night, and they have to boot Adele off the stage to bring on Blur? What?
Do their shows not run long? Is that the problem?
I don't know. Ours
just go as long as they go?
I do know that Blur is much, 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 much bigger there than it is here.
Yeah.
And they're getting back together. But still, you'd think they'd cut someplace else.
Well, we have many questions about what happened that night and what is going through Adele's head right now. So we asked producer Dave if he could line her up, and I believe we have Adele joining us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Adele.
Hi, good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. How are you?
Well, I'm not as happy as I could have been.
Yeah, it seems a little like they snubbed you.
Right, it was awful. I'm up there accepting the award for the Album of the Year, and then they cut me off. I thought it was right rude of them.
Yeah,
they kind of spoiled your moment a little bit. I mean, this is something you worked really hard for, something you earned, and clearly...
It's the Brit Awards.
It's the Brit Awards, right.
And I'm up there saying how great it is to be British, and
how happy
I am to be flying the British flag and be a British artist, and then they cut me off for Blur!
Yeah. That's no good.
That was odd.
That's freaking Blur!
Yeah, really, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Went on to play an 11-minute set.
Really?
Couldn't they cut a minute out of their 11-minute set and let me finish my speech?
Yeah, I think you're right, Adele. I think they did three songs after they rushed you off the stage after 30 seconds.
11 bloody minutes.
That's unbelievable.
That's about 9 more minutes than you need of Blur.
You were treated so much better in the United States at the Grammys.
That's what I'm saying. And I get six Grammy Awards, and then I go home, hail the conquering hero. No, here, stick this where the sun don't shine with your Brit Awards.
That was crazy.
Right. Yeah. I just want to say I'm no longer proud to be British.
Oh, well, you can't blame the whole country.
No, I do. I say I was trying to give Britain their proper...
Right.
And then they cut me off, so I hate Britain, is what
I'm saying. Well, wow. Let's not rush to any conclusions.
I wish the Germans had won.
Oh,
no, you were born and raised there. That's ridiculous.
I wish they had bombed more.
You don't.
No, you don't.
I wish Churchill had died.
No, you don't wish that either.
You're just saying crazy things.
I hate the royal family.
Well, I do too.
I hate fish and chips.
You don't hate fish and chips.
I'm going to move to Albania.
Albania?
I don't think so. I don't think that's true.
One of the other Anias.
Right.
I thought it was bloody awful the way they treated me, and I wrote a song about it.
Okay.
You should have let me talk instead of effing Blur. Yeah, that's my new song.
That is a very good song. 11 minutes of Blur, you're saying.
I could have said it all. I hate England.
It was probably only the producer, though. I mean, it probably comes down to about one guy.
Well, it's too late now.
Well,
I bet he was British.
He was.
With his awful teeth.
Yeah,
and
I'm
his
sure.
Brown sauce.
I'm sure that's true. But...
driving on the wrong side of the road.
But have faith in your fellow man. I'm just saying that was one guy.
But I hate England.
Okay.
Is what I'm
you
saying.
Don't. Right. You don't. You're
I
just
do,
sore
and,
right
and
now.
I'm giving
because
a
of
finger
what
to the entire country. It's not a country, it's like an island. It's like Rhode Island.
Not even
a real country.
Yeah,
I don't think that's true. You're going to be fine. You're just a little bit sore because it's fresh in your mind. But ultimately, all that matters is you got the biggest prize of the night from your people.
That is what matters. Me. It's all about me.
Right.
And down with England.
Well.
And I hope the Vikings come back and take the country back.
I don't think.
Okay.
Or give it to the Irish or whatever. Whatever's worse for England. That's what I vote for.
Right.
So are you never going to live there again? You moving for good?
I am moving for good, yes.
All right.
Right now, it's between Botswana.
Botswana.
Uh-huh. Or Louisiana.
Or Louisiana.
I like things that end in A.
Good luck with that.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
You're wishing me a lot of luck, that's for sure. Like that. Good luck with that for you, too.
I'd like to hear more of the song if you got that. But...
I don't. You should have cut me off 30 seconds ago.
No,
it's more like the Brit Awards.
We don't want to cut you
off. You're the opposite of the Brit Awards. You let me go on too long.
Oh, that's too bad, Adele.
Go to Blur. Do you have a Blur song?
We don't have a Blur song,
play
no.
Play some Blur.
Go together. 106.7, K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Kevin is going to be impossible to live with once he gets to talk to his hero, Troy Landry, coming up after the top of the hour.
Well, thank God, I'm a good boy.
He is king of the swamp people.
He is the king of the swamp. He's not just a swamp person.
Come on
He's
now.
The king of the swamp people.
Anyone can be the swamp person.
Sure.
Live in the swamp.
Right.
You can be the king.
That's right.
That's quite the achievement.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's the highest rated television show in the history of the History Channel.
I'm
sure
it
knocked out something about Hitler's bunker, I'm sure. But yeah.
And history has American Pickers. It gets more numbers than American Pickers.
Please, yes. American Pickers is boring.
It's not boring. It's
biggest
awesome.
Show they've ever had. Anyway, we'll talk to the King of the Swamp people coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some passes to give away. I've been doing it all week and will continue to do so throughout the remainder of the week, to Green Day's American Idiot.
Yay!
Direct from Broadway, the smash hit musical based, of course, on the Grammy Award-winning multi-platinum album by Green Day. Story of three lifelong friends forced to choose between their dreams and the safety of suburbia. But I'm guessing at least one of them doesn't want to be an American Idiot. It's my guess. It's at the Amundsen Theater. You get to go Friday, March the 16th, and you get access to the after party with the cast. So it's quite the event if you'd like to go. And who wouldn't? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers who get through will get a pair of tickets to see Green Day's American Idiot, the musical.
Sounds good.
I'm going to go check that out while it's in town.
Me too.
I missed it on Broadway, but I can't do much better than having it come right to your town. I
already got my tickets.
Hey, how much better than you?
I'm Broadway girl.
Well, you knew.
Yeah,
you knew I was all over this.
We knew.
Yeah.
We knew. We knew. Oh, we knew.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay Lohan in the news. Got rave reviews from Judge Stephanie Sautner yesterday at her progress hearing.
Those of you that haven't watched that, getting rave reviews from that judge is pretty difficult.
Judge loves her now. Yeah. Used to hate her, now loves her.
Yep.
Said, Lindsay, you're in the home stretch. You seem to be getting your life back on track. Congratulations. Blah, 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 blah. Gave her a reach around and sent her on
happened.
Her way. Yeah. Lindsay, of course, has just one hearing left and will be hosting Saturday Night Live on March 3rd, so her life really is looking up. But there's plenty of time.
She's a decent actress, right?
She is very serviceable.
Okay.
Yes.
So do you
she was
think...
an excellent child actress, but that's only because a lot of kids are not good actors. Then she grew up into a reasonably talented adult actress.
So what I'm asking about is, being on Saturday Night Live. Is it going to be a disaster? Mm-hmm. Is she going to be okay?
Well, the show's not really good.
Right.
She is not the type of talent who can raise bad
it.
Material above the bar. So I think she will be as good as the writing will be.
All right, so serviceable.
Yeah.
You don't watch the show either, right, Ralph?
I see a lot of it.
I don't watch it at all, which is why I'm asking.
Because, a lot of clips on Hulu and stuff.
This has been a real good series, and you're right. Depending on who the host is, if you get in a guy like Jimmy Fallon or even Maya Rudolph last weekend, it can be a very entertaining show because they bring something to the party.
If they do skits and stuff that are based on her life, about having to work at the morgue and, going to court and all that stuff, might be interesting.
I doubt they will do that.
They won't, yeah.
But that would be the way to go if you were trying to make an entertaining, funny
show. And she's going
to
sing Rumors or Why Do the People Love Me or whatever song it is. Remember when she made a song?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Her and the...
Like a dance song?
She was in the window of the store writhing around, and everyone was looking at her, and she was uncomfortable.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. It was called Airtight, I think was the name of
it. I don't think so.
But it was.
I hope.
Fatty is rising up, Kevin. They're coming after you next, I'm sure.
Fatty is rising up.
Yes.
Is this one person or a group?
No.
It's the biggest group ever.
The Biggest Losers have mutinied.
Uh-oh.
Current crop of weight loss wannabes on NBC's reality series have apparently staged a mutiny and threatening to quit the show altogether. This has forced producers to shut down production of The Biggest Loser. All the fatties have banded together and they're taking on the man.
This is the current season that I'm watching now.
What? I have no idea, Lisa.
What's happening?
I didn't even know there was a season on now. I know the one they're currently filming.
What's happening?
Well, here's the thing. The producer said, oh, here's a cool twist. We're going to bring back some previous Biggest Loser contestants to compete against this current group for the $250,000 grand prize. And the current fatty said, no, that is not fair. They've got a hand up. They've already been through this. They would have an advantage. So we're not going to buy into this, so we're walking. And they, they waddled off the set.
Rolled.
And they had to shut down production because they got no fatties to lose weight now.
How about
the Biggest Loser? So fatty's taking the power back.
I totally back them. They so screwed them. This was the season where they came in with like a brother or sister or mom or whatever. And the first thing they did was separate them and put them in opposite teams.
Oh, no.
No, that was really
a sort of what you do.
Crappy move.
Oh, no.
That made me mad.
Me too. Did they have somebody stand up and tell them?
Don't you do it. Don't you lose a single pound. I don't care what those Hollywood image makers say. Big women are sexy.
That's right. So we'll have to see if NBC will buckle to their complaints and get them back on the treadmill or the log flume ride or whatever they do over there.
I've never seen
an episode of that show.
There are plenty of other fatties they can replace those fatties with, right?
I don't know. They've already shot half a season.
Mid-season.
Yeah, good point. Demi Lovato's got her own reality show coming up on MTV. Demi Lovato, Stay Strong. It's the name of her reality show.
Ugh.
MTV cameras will follow her as she struggles from recovery from her various issues, such as her admitted eating disorder and a cutting disorder. She's going to have... nothing happens unless it happens on television anymore.
That's
so now
true.
She gets to recover, but only in front of the cameras. So she'll get a chance to make a TV show out of it.
I'm impressed that Kevin did not suggest she needs to go on The Biggest Loser.
Well...
Do you know what a fat ass she is, according to Kevin?
She's a fat, fat, fat woman.
I'm looking for the right drop.
Okay. Well, too late. We're moving on. We don't have the time for your research.
Shoot!
Today's celebrity birthday is Peter...
Now it's just... I mean, look at her. She's got elbow cleavage.
Back to you. Timing.
Actor-director Peter Fonda, 72 years old today. Actress Kristen Davis is 47. Niecy Nash turns 42. Lasse Johansson of the Cardigans is 39 years old today. Do we have any Cardigan audio of the interview?
We actually don't.
The
Bean has it. That's the problem.
And he won't play it?
No, I think we can get him to. But next hour, Bean, we're going to have that.
All right, next hour I'll have it ready to go.
Promise.
Kelly MacDonald of Boardwalk Empire is 36 years old. Aziz Ansari celebrates his 29th birthday, as does Emily Blunt and Dakota Fanning.
Oh, wow.
Charlotte's Web, I Am Sam, a charming little actress for many, many years now, 18 years old. She's all grown up.
And isn't it remarkable how good her younger sister is as an actress to have two in the same family that are both so good?
When I saw Super 8, I was like, this may be the more talented Fanning. And I didn't think you could find a more talented young actress than Dakota.
Yeah, because Dakota's great, too.
But Elle is super talented and a little hotter, if you ask me. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. You know, she's not 18 yet, but when she gets 18, she's going to be hotter.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. No, I'm sure.
So you can't see her yet.
I can't.
Like, why do you talk like that?
I can look at Dakota. I
don't want everyone to hear.
I can look at Dakota and I say, you're 18 now. Play ball! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Is Thursday the best day of the week in your house, Kevin, because of Swamp People?
Yes, sir.
Thursday's at 9 on the History Channel, and that includes tonight an all-new episode of Swamp People. We could not be more excited to welcome the king of the Swamp People to the Kevin Bean Show, ladies and gentlemen, Troy Landry.
Yeah!
Joins us here on
good
the program.
Morning. Good morning.
How are you, Troy?
I'm doing good, and y'all?
Very good, and y'all? We've never had the opportunity to talk to a king on the show before, so this is kind of a thrill for us.
Well, good. Thank y'all for having me on, man.
No problem. We were playing some highlights of the show because you guys hunt alligators, and it seems to me like there are so... It seems like every other animal is safer to hunt. Because you can do it from a distance. You hunt bears, you can do it with a gun. But you guys hunt alligators in those little boats, and they're bigger than the boats sometime. And it just seems like the worst gig ever.
Oh, yeah, and believe me, they're trying to eat us. They would eat us in a heartbeat if we gave them half the chance.
They kill you, right. So here's the beginning of alligator season on Swamp People.
The sun rises on the first day of alligator season. It's the day King of the Swamp Troy Landry has been waiting a whole year for.
Boy, look how pretty. Oh, it makes me feel like singing. Sun's coming up. I got cakes on the griddle. Thank God I'm a swamp man.
That's our Troy right there.
But Troy,
help me out. Help me understand this, sir. You
seem
like
a part out.
You seem like a smart guy. You're obviously a motivated guy, a strong guy. There are a lot of things you could do. Why do you choose the most dangerous profession in all of Louisiana?
Well, it's not something we chose to do. It's something we were raised doing. I mean, we, you know, when I finished school or whatever, I didn't decide, oh, I'm going to be an alligator hunter. It's something we've done all our life growing up. My daddy never was a big alligator hunter, but he was a commercial fisherman. He lived off the bayous. And, you know, I'm following in his footsteps. My uncles were alligator hunters and my grandpa. And it's just something we were raised doing. You know what I'm saying?
But let me tell
you, like I went to college to be an alligator hunter.
Right, but let me follow that up with, if you get a certain amount of success, at some point a lot of people decide, hey, too much, you know, hazard, not having enough fun, would rather move someplace else. And what they'll do is they'll move their family to another place where they can go to a restaurant and order alligator, and it's not quite so dangerous.
Oh, yeah, you're right, and it's very, you know, it's very dangerous. So I don't know if you can realize that just by watching the show, but it's very, very dangerous. It's a lot of hard work. It stinks like hell. it's a tough job, but somebody got to do it. And, you know,
but you can tell,
not afraid of hard work.
You can tell by that song that you love it.
Oh, yeah, I'm not afraid of hard work. I've worked hard my whole life, and it's something we do, you know, something we just was raised doing, and I just kept doing it.
Now, alligator season is only 30 days, right? Just 30 days each year.
Yes, sir. And the wild season is the month of September.
And you're trying to get 400 alligators in 30 days.
Yep. We wound up with, when the season started this year, we had 430-something tags, and when it was all said and done, we wound up with over 530 of them.
What?
Wow. That's
amazing. We filled them all in 30 days, and besides that, I am the nuisance hunter for three parishes at home, which is similar to your counties. And we caught another 75 or 80 nuisance alligators this summer.
Nuisance alligators? Those are the ones that threaten people?
Yeah, the ones that come in people's yards,
right,
close to their camps. They eat their pets and chase their kids, and they call wildlife officials or they call the sheriff's office.
See, that's that's where I draw the line. When I look out back and one of my kids is running away from an alligator, that's where I go, hey, time to move.
Hey, Troy, I don't know very much about alligators, but why are there so many of them? Do they have huge litters when they give birth?
Well, they do, but you know the reason a lot of people might not know this, but in the late 60s and early 70s, alligators, the American alligator was placed on the endangered species. They were hunted to almost extinction. When my dad and my grandpa and all used to hunt them, they'd hunt them for meat, and they wasn't regulated. You could hunt them almost like you wanted. They didn't have any more. When I was growing up, we didn't have any alligators.
Right.
It was hard to find an alligator.
And now there's millions and millions?
They took them off the endangered species. There's very strict regulation that they let us hunt them, but there's very strict regulation, federal laws protecting them, and now we harvest what they feel is the excess. They keep a very healthy population, and depending on how well they're raised and how many eggs hatch, that's how they determine how many they're going to let us catch every September.
Now, how did you become the king of the swamp? Was there a vote? How does that work?
No, let me tell you, you don't just wake up one day. Like some of them alligator hunters out there, they want to be the king of the swamp so bad they can taste it.
Right.
And it's not something you wake up and you decide, oh, I'm going to be the king of the swamp today. It's not just pertaining to alligators. No matter what I do, when I fish catfish, when I fish crawfish, when I shrimp, when I fish alligators, I'm always in the top three, if not the number one fisherman in the area for that time of the year. I'm in the top three.
I see.
So he's earned the title, is what he's saying.
You get a reputation, and it follows you everywhere you go. And then since swamp people came out, it's like, oh my God, I used to always be in the top three, but now I'm number one at everything.
Now you're the king.
So I got to keep on. I got to live up to all of that.
That's right. We are in our remaining moments with Troy Landry here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the series that he appears on called Swamp People that airs Thursday nights at 9 o'clock on the History Channel. Do you have a lot of female admirers, Troy? Are there alligator hunter groupies?
Yes, I do. I have my boys and I do appearances. We travel the country from the East Coast to the West doing appearances lately, and we have so many fans that come out to see us. It's unbelievable. Women, men, little kids. I mean, you name it, they love us.
That's got to be weird because you spent your life pretty much alone out there with just your family, and then now all of a sudden everybody knows who you are.
It's been a drastic change for us. You know, I used to live in the woods. My wife was always fussing me. Sometimes I'd stay in the woods for a week at a time before coming out. And my wife was always raising hell that
sure.
I'd spend too much time in the woods. And now I'm everywhere but the woods. I can't get to the woods.
But you're the king, so off with her head, right?
That's right.
And, you know, it's not going to last forever. So we're going to do all we can and make it. I take advantage of it and make the most opportunities we can while it's hot. And when it's all going to go away, Troy Andrew's going to go back to the swamp and do what he always done before.
I got you.
All right, last question for you, Troy, and thank you very much for the time. Is this something you would like to see your kids follow in your footsteps and also be alligator hunters?
Oh, yeah. You know, my kids love it. I'm bringing my little grandkids with me right now. They love it. My oldest granddaughter's 9. And she loves it to come in the boat with her grandpa and hunt alligators. She killed her first deer this year. It's something I want to see them do and pass it down to them because I'm getting too old to catch all them big alligators.
Your family is exactly like mine. I got to tell you that, Troy. No different.
Troy, you're the best, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with Swamp
all
People.
Right.
Don't get eaten, all right?
Tell everybody hello on y'all in.
We will. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And have we mentioned, by the way, the winner of the Maxim Hometown Hottie Contest is going to be joining us. Dominique Storelli is going to be on, talking about the sexiest things in America, which it makes a lot of sense why she want to come on this show, right?
Some of which are, please, some of which are in Los Angeles.
How about that? All right, first, though, I thought this was interesting. This headline for this article that I found yesterday says that 54% of parents regret their original choice of the name that they gave their children.
Now, we've talked about this a lot because celebrities especially are supposed to, they have an obligation to name their kids something effed up. And
but having said that, I bet none of the celebrities regret it, though. If you went to Chris Martin today and said, Apple, really? He'd probably still stand by it. They're not the type of people who go back on what they think at the time.
No, but that's why it surprised us. We've had callers who told us their names, and we would say, what were your parents thinking? And they would say, I don't know. So most of them kind of liked them, but some of them got it changed as soon as they possibly could. You don't hear a lot. That's why this was surprising to us that 1 out of 2 looks back and goes, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really surprised by this. This was a baby naming website that did this survey called Gurgle.com. Actually, it's not a baby naming website. It's a parenting website, and they also talk about baby names. Gurgle.com is the site. They surveyed 1,000 parents, and they said, choosing the right name for your children can be a tough job. However, there's no way of guaranteeing your little one is going to like what you choose. Hopefully, it will start to suit them more and more as their personality develops. And what they found is that many of the parents who later, when asked, hey, do you regret the name you gave? They say, yeah, because that kid did not grow into that name, or that's the kid did not end up being the type of person that I thought it would be when I gave it that name.
Wait, so
which
you
I
mean
think is interesting.
So you mean they name her Linda and then they go, she doesn't seem like a Linda?
She doesn't seem like a Linda.
What?
That's exactly what they're saying. But, it's one of the toughest decisions and one of the longest lasting decisions you'll ever make if you have the opportunity to name a child. And I think that my guess would be that most of the people who would regret it would be people who picked something that was maybe a passing interest at the time, like maybe there was a movie out. Like all these kids named Bella. I don't know how people are going to – maybe they thought Bella was awesome because they're big Twilight fans now. You know, they're having kids in the last 3 or 4 years.
But that's sort of normal in that Isabella is a –
yeah.
It's a normal name.
And it's
name.
A pretty name. I don't think it's weird.
You don't think those people will regret it because they'll look back and then go, that's when Twilight was big back in 2010 or whatever. You know, you don't think they'll think, oh, it's kind of dated?
I have a friend who loved Melrose Place and named her daughter Taylor.
after one of the characters. And it's still, she loves that name. It's still a great name.
Yeah.
So I think Bella will be fine.
Well, how much time, here's my question first before we take calls at 1-800-520-1067. How much time do you spend on Gurgle.com?
I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
I don't spend any time on that. It's just the place Gurgle that was referenced in this article. I know.
Did you bring condoms with you?
A fifth of parents in the survey, by the way, said that the names that they wanted to name their baby was vetoed by their partner. In other words, they came up with a name, and then their partner said, "No, we're not naming the baby." And some of the lists, some of the names on the list include Esme, E-S-M-E, Gately, Renes, and Majala. Those were some of the names that they weren't able to give their kids. It sounds like their partner did them a favor by not letting them use those names.
Do you shave down there?
That's not a Chris Hansen type situation. That's not what we're talking about here. So what we're looking for is you, if you named a kid and then you grew to regret the name you gave your kid, you thought for whatever reason it was not right. By the way, here's something else I haven't mentioned yet that I thought was interesting in this article too. Many of the people said that they wish they had gone with a different name because they grew to dislike the name after it became too popular.
Ah, you mean somebody else came along and ruined it in public?
They don't mention that, but it sounds too popular, not just that the name was disgraced by a famous person or something like that, but, hey, I thought my kid was going to be the only Brittany, for instance, and then all of a sudden there are 30 Brittanys going to her school. Now I don't like my kid's name being Brittany because there's so many Brittanys.
Here's the thing that bugs me about that. Is that your Brittany is going to be successful and interesting and successful and interesting based on your Brittany, not because she's named Brittany. Don't be stupid. Doesn't matter if there's a billion Britneys. If yours stands out, yours will stand out. But do you think it's a survey bean?
This is from Gurgle.com.
I'm cute, though. Built good.
Don't you think a lot? I mean, look, there are people who go with the standard names. And if you name your kid John or Richard or Debbie or, you know, something like that, you don't expect it to be unique. But then there are people who really go out of their way to look for things that they don't know anybody with that name that are unusual. And I guess they turn on it if it turns out, oh, wow, everybody else had the same idea at the same time.
I think I would like to shower with you.
Okay. Let's take one before the break. And this is a Brittany who's calling. Brittany is on line three. Joining us at the Kevin DeBeach Show. Then we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You named a kid. Now you regret the name you gave him or her. Please tell us why. Hi, Brittany. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I named my son Spencer because that was the name that his dad had really, really wanted. Ooh. And then couple months later, his dad left. Never came back.
Oh, and now you've got a Spencer in your life to do nothing but remind you of the man that left.
Wow.
No, it's not that bad, but there were so many other names that I absolutely loved that I wish I had stuck to my guns. But I have two other kids who have awesome names.
But at least Spencer Pratt didn't ruin it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about that? What about when Spencer Pratt was everywhere and he was a big tool? Did that kind of spoil the name for you a little bit?
A little bit. I thought it kind of gave, you know, a bad name to that name.
Sure.
I'm horny for you.
Okay, that's not. Brittany, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Well, she sounds way too young to have three kids already,
doesn't
she?
Correct. Yes.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Michelle, you hang on. Everybody else hang on. We'll be right back after this on the Kevin and Bean.
I'll carry you home tonight.
And put you in my bed.
106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock. Q, it is 741.
That's implied. You don't say that part out loud, Kevin. Come on. Hey, welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're talking about a new survey on people on Gurgle.com, which is a parenting website. It turns out there's a lot of regret in names that parents give their children. They think at the time that they name the kid that, they're going to be fine with it, and then they later on, for a number of reasons, they grow to regret their choice. Listen to this. Jonathan writes in on the Kevin DeBeach Facebook page, I don't know what we were thinking, but we named our little girl Brinley Ray, but we spelled it Brinley, B-R-Y-N-N-L-Y.
I know why, because you're dumbasses.
Oh. Ray, R-E-A.
Oh, my gosh.
Not only did we spell the first name weird, but the middle name is spelled wrong, too. So sorry, babe. Elementary school shouldn't be fun. Now, that sounds like Jonathan should have had that conversation with himself and his wife maybe before they named the four unfortunate little girl, right?
What's happening? Why are people so bad at naming their kids? This story comes up all the time.
I don't get the go out of your way to spell it wrong.
Makes it more interesting. That's such stupid logic.
Let's talk to Michelle online, too. Now, she's interesting because she actually did learn early on that she made a mistake changing the name and tried to change it right after the baby was born and something weird happened. Michelle, thanks for hanging on. Thanks for calling the Kevin DeBeach Show.
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What happened?
So it didn't take me very long. So I knew I was having a boy 4 months into the pregnancy. So I had all the time in the world, researched every name out there. Mm-hmm. And still, 2 days after he was born, they're like, ma'am, you can't leave the hospital until your son is named.
Oh, because you hadn't picked one yet.
I could not make a decision. I was like, okay, well, maybe after he's born, it'll just come to you.
Right.
Well, that wasn't exactly the case. So his father and I decided on Quentin. And at the time, Quentin was, you know, this was back in 99. So
like Quentin Tarantino?
Exactly. That was the only Quentin that was really famous that I knew of. So I was like, it's unique.
Or Sam.
He's got to have a unique name. Well, I get home, I sleep on it, and I wake up in the middle of the night just bawling.
Why?
I hate it. I called the hospital. I begged. They're like, I'm sorry, you can't. You have to go and physically change his name at the, you know, county clerk's office. And I'm just bawling. 30 minutes later, they're like, how fast can you get here?
Really?
Really?
They let you do it?
That's nice of them.
They let me come back.
What did you change it to?
We've got a nut job. Bring her in.
One of the most popular names in the entire world, Michael.
Oh, but nothing wrong with Michael.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's a nice name.
I am so happy with that. But fast forward 5 years later, I had a second son, and I kind of went through the same situation. On my baby shower a week before, it says, welcome, baby Diego.
Diego.
You're terrible.
You are a bad
namer. You're not allowed to name any more kids, Michelle.
And then in after delivery on video, it's welcome, baby Jesse, and my son's name is Vincent.
Right. Good times.
You know, thank you very much for the call. What Michelle needs is octuplets. That's what she needs. So she just throw all the names out there. Jerome writes in on the Kevin Bean Facebook page, my parents wanted to change my name when they found out that people associate Jerome as being a black name. I am full Korean. How about that? So they didn't know that at the time they gave him the name. But then when they introduced their kid as Jerome, everybody's like, oh, that's a black name. And then they wanted to change it. But they didn't. He's 27 now, so he's fine. But how funny is that?
Let's talk to William because he's got a bad choice. Hi, William.
Hey, how's it? Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's your name, your kid?
Me and my husband wanted like this nice, colorful, unique name, so we went with Orangey.
All right. He's just calling to make fun of me. That's what's going on here. Nobody makes anything Orangey.
And then we regretted it when she started coming home from school crying. They'll throw paint at her. They'll call her Crayola and crayons.
Okay.
And
this is a joke. Thank you. You couldn't see that was a joke, Kevin.
Yes, I could. That's why I put it on.
Naming anyone RNG. All right. Let's try Monica. This is fascinating on line one. This is a deal where you give someone a name and it's great until something happens in the pop culture world and it ruins it for you. Hi, Monica. Thanks for calling the Kevin to be Joe.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good.
Good. What's up?
Good. Well, when I was pregnant, I thought for sure I was having a girl, and so I told my ex-husband that her name's going to be Rachel. No matter what, it's Rachel.
Okay.
Ended up having a boy, so he was like, well, I get to name him. And so he named him after his father, which was Ariel. And then 3 years later, the Little Mermaid came out.
Oh.
And Ariel became a girl's name.
So the little boy was named Ariel.
Right, exactly. Oh. So he had to go through his life with a girl's name. But he's totally okay with it. Well, then we had a second son, and I said, okay, I'm going to name him, and I want to name him Michelle. And my husband said no. So I said Danielle, and he said no. Well, with all the L names, until I finally came up with Yoel, and he said, okay, so my second son's name is Yoel.
What the hell kind of a name is Yoel?
Yoel, I don't know what it means, but you know what? Both my kids, I offered if they wanted to change their name, they could, and they're both okay with it.
Here's what we're learning, that these things are not one-offs. If somebody names their kid something screwed up, they're going to do it for 2, 3, 4, or 5 other kids.
Yeah, yeah. They should take away the privilege, Monica. All right, and let me close with this story, because this is awesome, also from the Kevin Bean Facebook page. This is exactly what we're talking about. No fault of the parents in this case. My sister named her son Austin. Great idea, right? Then came Austin Powers. You should see the rage in her eyes every time her kid is introduced as Austin, and people go, yeah, baby. Not her fault. Austin was a fine name before those movies came out, but there's no way to know whether something like that's going to happen or not, right?
That's correct.
Mm. Hilarious. It's
Hey, that ended.
That song's over.
106.7.
It's K-Rock. All over now.
I just wanted people to hear the very end of it because I don't like it when DJs start.
Because it's that note that lasts forever.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the Kevin DeBean Show at 7:56.
Dominic Sturella, you don't know who she is, but she is Maxim's hometown honey. She won the competition of all the thousands of girls that entered to be the hometown honey. She's the one who won. She's on the cover of the March issue, so that's good enough for us to get her on the show.
What's
so
her hometown?
Don't know what her hometown is.
I don't know. There's a question.
Maybe
for
that'll
you
be
ask
our first question.
Does it matter?
We should have something to talk about.
It doesn't
instead
matter
of her heart
at all.
And her pelvis accident.
First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for Thursday. What's happening?
Quick heads up. It's been a while. But folks been asking, we are returning. Hollywood Babylon returns this weekend at the John Lovitz Theater.
Saturday.
Saturday night, 10 p.m. up at Universal City Walk. Kevin Smith and I babbling on about all things showbiz. If you'd like to attend, we'd love to have you. Go to thelovitz.com to get tickets, or you can go to babylonralph.com to get tickets. But it's been a couple weeks, and so we're chomping at the bit. My lover and I, Kevin Smith, having a chance to spend some time together. So
you're going to be more drunk and go longer, excited. I imagine.
I think this will be chock-filled because we got a lot of stuff to talk about. I got an hour Whitney Houston chunk, at least,
oh, great,
before I even get to the other stuff. So come on and join us, won't you?
Whitney?
Oh, two tsunami right there.
Will
Britney Spears be the new X Factor judge?
I hope so.
It is rumored that she will be joining.
What was that?
I don't have any idea. That didn't come from this end.
I think it was Beer Mug.
Remix.
He was playing the machines over there.
Simon Cowell to be joined with. Stop doing that, whatever you're doing over there.
Yeah. Sorry. Just very back annoying. Off. Back off.
Simon Cowell will not say who he is choosing to be the replacement judges. You know, he acts the host, first of all, Steve Jones. I got Nicole Scherzinger. She's gone. Paul Abdul is gone. So he's got a lot of seats to fill on that show. But they are starting auditions again on March 14th, so they got to lock in who's going to be the judges soon. And the rumor has it, Britney Spears will be joining the judges' table.
Somebody will be up there, and their lives on the line. They'll be singing, and then it'll go to her, Britney, and she'll go...
I'm going to find that. I'm going to find that drop over there, and I'm going to hit it with a flamethrower. John Leguizamo's got a new TV series.
He's
Only
talented.
Fools and Horses is the name of the show. It's based on a popular British show about a guy with dubious get-rich-quick schemes that always go wrong. It was a popular show like in the 70s, I think, in the UK. Now they're doing an American version, and he will be starring in that. So I look forward to that because he's very talented and a very, very funny guy. And it looks like Katy Perry's going to be on television.
All right. Okay.
She has got a gig that may be a recurring role on the Fox comedy Raising Hope, which if you're not watching, is very funny.
Mm-hmm. I'm not watching that.
It's brought to you by the creators of My Name is Earl. And if you like that show, it's the same sort of sensibility. A lot of dumb redneck people on that show, basically. Katy Perry will play a prison guard named Ricky. Who happens to be friend of Shannon Woodward's character on the show. How did that happen? Well, it turns out that she and Shannon are best friends. So Katie said, I'd like to come and do your little program with you. So that's how they worked that out. Kevin, you'll be happy to know that you can finally get Beatles songs as ringtones.
All right.
Or are they Ringo tones?
Really?
Woo. Oh. Woo!
Really?
What happened now?
Really?
That was a good one. iTunes has the exclusive digital rights to all things Fab Four. Now all 27 songs on the Beatles number one collection are available as 30-second ringtone. So, Kevin, load up. Load up on your Beatles ringtones.
Not going to need that. Thank
Come
you.
On now. Wouldn't it be awesome if your phone rings and a Yellow Submarine comes
no.
on?
No, that would be terrible.
How about hello, goodbye? See,
nope.
That would make sense.
No.
Hello. It's a phone call.
Right.
Hello.
Right. No.
Isn't that funny that one thing I did hear when I got back from my trip was that Twitter blew up at the Grammys because everyone was asking who Paul McCartney is?
Yeah, that was funny.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's that
yes.
old man?
Who's that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the old lesbian on the piano?
Love that.
I don't
Love
understand.
That. That is great.
And porn star Kim Kardashian is a happy woman today. She's got a public apology from a publicist who claimed her 72-day marriage to Chris Humphries was staged for the cameras.
Ah.
Kim's attorney told Us Weekly magazine that she reached a settlement in her suit against Jonathan Jackson.
Woo-hoo!
And that Kim is extremely pleased with the outcome. This all happened on Jackson's website. He also appeared on several news programs claiming to be her employee from 2007 to 2009. He alleged that the marriage was staged.
Well, this is the first I've heard of it.
He had to apologize publicly, saying he did not have any first-hand knowledge of Kim's relationship with Chris and that his statements were only opinions.
True opinions.
You think?
So,
allegedly.
Kim got her public apology, which is what she was shooting for.
And that changed all of our minds.
It did. Now I think it was real love. Right. I think it was true love. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor-director Peter Fonda, 72 years old today. Kristen Davis from Sex and the City. She is 47 years old. She looks pretty great for 47.
I agree. By the way.
Niecy Nash of Reno 911 fame is 92. Lasse Johansson of the Cardigans, 39 years old today. Remember when the Cardigans were in the studio and you guys interviewed them? I remember as if it was yesterday.
Bored. Do you guys... I don't know where I'm going with this.
And so what... Yeah, okay. Nina, this morning's interview with Kevin and Bean, would you say it was the most fun you've ever had?
No.
So that's basically how that went.
Yeah.
We prepared about 30 questions. We burned through them in the first 30 seconds.
My favorite was Bean's IKEA question. Do you have the IKEA question?
I do, yes.
Okay. I went to Norway, you know, and they had the IKEA. The IKEA was huge.
Is it huge?
Can you please stop talking about Norway?
Nina, you've been here for 15 minutes. You're already tired of Norway? But see,
she's not from Norway.
No,
by
she's
the way.
Swedish.
She's Swedish.
Yeah, right. Well, it's right there. So, right in the hood.
So Bean thought since it's in the hood, he's going to go with his Norway chunk.
Look, we had talked about everything we could possibly talk to the Cardigans about. Well, we had done the talking. They hadn't really done much responding. So then we're out at that point. So I'm thinking, they're from Scandinavia. I've been to Scandinavia. Maybe there's some common ground. We can talk about that. But they weren't having any of that as well.
Look, I'm blaming them. They were terrible.
That was rough.
Their guitarist fell asleep.
If you had been more interesting, he would have stayed away.
I don't know that it was possible.
It is interesting that Bean went to IKEA, though, for his Scandinavian connection.
We were desperate.
Have you ever been to Hufstumtrandvins? You know, the place where everyone hangs out there? No, he goes to the IKEA, the chain store of furniture.
They were terrible.
Look, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sure we were also awful, but they didn't try to meet us halfway.
They should have pelted you with Swedish meatballs.
I don't know if we have that interview in the archives, but it might be fun to go back to the actual interview.
It would be
see what happened.
And Toto.
Oh, it's death.
Yeah.
Kelly MacDonald of Boardwalk Empire is 36 years old. Aziz Ansari is 29. Emily Blunt, also 29 today. And Dakota Fanning, today she is a woman. She's 18 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Okay. Look. Look.
What?
Look.
What?
Look.
What?
Look.
What?
Here's a disclaimer, because we went through this again yesterday and we had Brittany Palmer on for the new Playboy, and she's the UFC. Right. You're going to email us and you're going to tweet us and you're going to Facebook us and you're going to say, you don't understand, Kevin Abean. You guys are doing radio. We can't see the hotties. We understand that you enjoy talking to the attractive women. It doesn't do anything for us. We can't see them. Don't bother sending that email. We don't care. We do this for us. Okay?
Our answer to you is we don't care.
We don't care. This is not about you, the Kevin Abean listener. This is about us, the Kevin Abean. Okay? Maxim, hometown hottie. They have crowned a champion. She is on the cover of the March issue of Maxim magazine. It is available everywhere now. And she joins us on the phone right now, the beautiful Dominique Storelli. Dominique, welcome. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
You are the hometown hottie. That's an honor that didn't even exist when you were a little kid. How does it feel to wear the crown?
Oh, it feels amazing. I mean, I wake up every day with a smile on my face. It's amazing. I feel hot. You know?
You feel hot.
You are hot. How does the Hometown Hottie competition work in terms of thousands of people send in their photos? They print a few of them every issue, and then the readers of the magazine vote on who the hottest is, right?
Correct. So you enter this contest I probably entered February 2011, and it takes all year. I found out in December. And basically, they just wean it down to, you know, I think it's 500, and then from 500 to... 10 girls. We went to Las Vegas and had a wonderful trip, took a bunch of photo shoots, did a lot of interviews, and then they crowned me the winner in December.
Sweet.
Okay. And what do you get as the hometown hottie for Maxim?
You do a lot of promotional things throughout the year, a lot of radio calls, television shows, different events representing Maxim. And we have a lot of stuff coming up that will be out in the next few months that you'll have to wait and see.
Are you ever, just based on all the photos I've been able to find for you online, and I want you to know I did a significant amount of research for this interview. Okay. Are you ever in anything other than a bikini?
Not really. You know, I mean, they really like me in those bikinis and in yeah. the little ones, too, you know, like the Brazilian cuts. But
yeah, I think they speak for all of us.
Yeah, right. But no, I'm, to be honest with you, I'm not, I wasn't a huge model before this happened. And it just kind of fell into place. And
what were you doing when this happened?
I was in school, actually. I was working. I went to school for film. And I was actually in the Dominican Republic for the past 4 months working down there. And I found out they Skyped me, and they told me I was a winner. I couldn't even believe it. I was in shock.
Wow. What's going on in the Dominican Republic that takes you down there? That sounds pretty fascinating.
Oh, it was. I mean, I absolutely love it. It's a different world, I can tell you that. But I went there for actually an internship for school, and I was working with a film company. And then a few movies have been going down there, and so I got on, you know, route with that and was working on movie sets and really enjoying it. And once I found out about this, I came back to really embrace it and see what I could do here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Now, part of the article that they have is the sexiest things in America, a long list of sexy things in America. Did you come up with that, or did somebody else?
No, unfortunately, I did not. Right. I mean, I'd like to take the credit, but I didn't. I had the little article there, about 5 or 6 questions, and that was all me. But the other things, no, it was a collaboration of other people's ideas.
The sexiest things in America, one of them is the sexiest canyon, which is hard to imagine that that category exists. But Dave the King of Mexico is here, who goes to Runyon Canyon all the time. Here in L.A., and that apparently is the spot.
That is the spot to see hot chicks walking
so
around.
That's where I should go next. Is that the
absolutely, yes.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, that's where what's her name? Rachel Nichols. She runs there. You know, Catherine McPhee runs there. I've seen Kate Mara run there. You know, Mark from The Real World. He's a sexy guy.
Wow,
he runs
Mark
there.
From The Real World. That's great. Yeah. Do trainers take their celebrity clients there? Is that part of it?
They do, yeah. And it's
the stairs or whatever?
And it's right in Hollywood, so, you know, all the upcoming actors and wannabe actors and actresses are there running around. And it's, you know, tons of hot chicks.
All right.
That's pretty cool. I was impressed by the girls with the ice cream truck. I don't know if you saw them, but they have this really fancy ice cream truck, and that I laughed at that one. I thought that was pretty interesting.
That's the way it should be, by the way. Sexiest right. coffee shop. I would like to bring up real quick that Bean lives in Seattle, Washington, my partner. Huh? And the sexiest right. coffee shop is the Cowgirls Espresso, and that's where they all wear the bikinis. And Bean, yes. we can't for the life of us talk Bean into going there.
Why not?
That's our question. Why not?
Bean, come on.
Come on, Bean.
Look, I guess...
Go get a coffee. What's the
downside? I guess you guys are right, because especially in February in Seattle, there aren't a lot of places to go see girls in bikinis.
Right.
So I guess it would make sense to drive on by, but I have not found time to do that yet.
No, you don't drive by. You park and you order something. What is wrong with you?
Take advantage of the show, Bean. Come on.
Come on.
Well, all right. I wasn't having it when Kevin was complaining, but now, Dominique, now that you're piling on, I guess maybe I need to go by. I need to do it for hot chicks is what I need
to do. I think you should swing by.
Wow.
This is the sexiest things in America is the list that we're talking about with Dominique Sturelli here on the Kevin Bean Show. She is the Maxim hometown hottie. So you do you reign for a year? Do you go for like for
yes,
for
sir, I do.
You do? Wow.
I do. And I know it says the title really is for 2011, but it really the reigning is for 2012. So it's all this year.
Makes
sense.
Found
out December.
So you vote for throughout that entire year, and then this year, now you're on the cover of the March issue. Of Maxim Magazine.
How about that?
So.
Do you like it? Have you seen it?
Yeah. Yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
I'm not the one that doesn't go to the coffee shop with the girls in the bikinis.
Yeah. No, you do excellent work, Dominique. You really do. All right. One more question for you, because you made some reference to it in your interview. You did have a boyfriend, but then you guys broke up sometime last year?
That's correct.
What has that been like, I wonder, for him to now walk by every newsstand down there in Florida and see your face on it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I actually just got a call from him, and he goes, "We didn't break up 6 months ago. We broke up, you know, 8 months ago or whatever it was." And he was like, "Do you have another boyfriend?" And I said, "Absolutely not. I just was throughout 6 months. It sounded like a good number to me. That's what I thought."
Was he trying to become your boyfriend again now?
No, you know, we're friends. And,
all right.
I'm enjoying, you know, I'm a young girl and I don't need some
little boy hanging me up. I want to
no, you don't.
Begin my career and, you know,
yes, start you my do. Own life.
And I'm sure yeah. you're getting your fair share of fan mail through Maxim, too. You're probably fine. You got your pick of the litter right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm headstrong with my work right now. So.
All right.
Understood. Well, Dominique, I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you. Congratulations on being the Maxim hometown hottie, and I hope everybody goes out and picks up the March issue. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed.
You bet.
Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we're going to do a Kevin and Bean scientific survey, because this is a statistic I think, Kevin, you found surprising, right?
Not possible.
Yeah, completely wrong.
100% false. And
unbelievable.
It's time for a scientific survey, right?
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Oh, we have people. I always think you're going to play Madonna's Lucky Star when I hear the beginning of that jingle.
You must be my lucky star. All right, Bean, give us your bogus thing, and then
okay,
we'll have
first
to tell
all,
your
this,
lies, Bean.
This isn't my bogus thing. I don't have anything to do with this. This is from the ABC News website. And sure. Yes, we do already have people on the phone
right.
who called before they heard what we were going to talk about, so
right.
they do not have a bias either way. It's not like they're calling to support or defend or whatever. Okay.
Correct.
Travelodge, which is a British hotel chain, did a survey recently and discovered that 35% of adults admitted that they sleep with a stuffed animal. 35% of adults.
Wait. You said men to us yesterday.
No.
Carry
35%
on.
Of adults. Then they said, additionally, it turns out, 25% of men report that they take their teddy bear or stuffed animal with them when they travel.
Oh, stop it. 25% of men take a stuffed animal with them.
And the reason Bean brings up this survey
correct.
Is he travels with a sock monkey.
Has his whole life.
That he needs to sleep with every night.
If he doesn't have it with him on the road, he has a lot of trouble sleeping.
Yeah, I am most comfortable sleeping with my sock monkey. Absolutely, yeah. And I don't think that's uncommon.
It's very common.
I think that there are a lot of people who sleep with a stuffed animal. I mean, I have slept with a stuffed animal my whole life. I had an Ewok for many years, and then I had a Curious George for many years after that. In the last 15 years or so, it's been sock monkey. And it's just, it's comforting to have something to kind of wrap your arm around.
How about your wife? Try that.
I don't think she's there, Ralph. I think the truth
How
of it is...
How about a hooker?
She's nowhere near.
How about a pillow? How about
it's something? Time for Kevin and Bean scientific survey.
Doesn't make you a creepy 8-year-old trapped in a giant behemoth's body.
There's nothing creepy about being comfortable
we'll
when
talk
you sleep.
About that another time.
All right, so here's the number then. Again, 25% of adult men travel with a stuffed animal.
No.
So, it's
no.
not possible, right?
Because that almost insinuates that the more of them are sleeping with their stuffed animals at home, but only 25% of them take them on the road.
Yeah.
This article does go on to talk about, by the way, the men that hide their teddy bears when their girlfriends stay over. Just all sorts of shame associated with the stuffed animal.
Should be.
Rightly so.
Yeah,
should
be. Grow up.
Should be ashamed.
Right. Should be
so
that way.
Should be put down.
Help me understand this, Ralph, because you're better with math than I am. But if this scientific survey that we're going to take, if it is to be proved correct, then if we take four calls and one of these men travels with a stuffed animal, this survey will have been proven to be correct.
We
right?
will have the same findings as that survey if we can get one out of four of the people.
Okay. All right. Now, they don't know why they called, but they are on hold.
So we'll go
they're
to,
over
we're
21.
Just, we're four just random listeners. Four
we'll
random male listeners.
The first four callers and see what we have. We'll start with Rene. Rene is a man, and he is on line two to get us going. Rene, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi.
All right. Easy question for you. Do you travel with a stuffed animal to sleep with?
No.
Thank you,
all
sir.
Right.
Thank you, grown
right.
man.
And
Woo!
His name's Rene.
That's right.
Right.
He's practically a woman.
We've already won.
You want to stop right now, Bean?
Kyle is next. We are 0-1 so far. Kyle is next on line four. Kyle, you travel with a stuffed animal or not?
Nope.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you, Kyle, grown man.
Nicely done.
All we need is one, though, to match these results.
Uh-huh.
Frank is next, line five. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Good, Frank.
Please say no. Please say no. Please say no.
Latin,
tell
it has to be
truth.
Honest. Tell the truth.
Do you travel with
a stuffed animal to sleep with on the road?
Not since I was seven.
Yes. Thank you, Frank, grown man Frank. Thank you, grown up adult Frank.
Fantastic. We only need
right.
one more, and then Bean has
now
to...
Before we go to it, Bean has to do what?
Then Bean has to let this 1-4 number go.
And then you have to admit you're weird
freak.
And a freak.
It's not
yes.
my
number. You have
number.
To admit
it's
you're weird and the freak, yes.
Travelodge, the British hotel yeah. chain.
Well, right. maybe pansy Brits who go to low-rent hotels, maybe they carry stuffed animals and not Americans.
But Bean, we decided
and
a long time.
A Brit.
That's right. There.
We decided a long time ago when we do a scientific survey, that's the end of it.
It stands.
It stands
okay.
as fact.
But what's the downside?
Unless it supports it.
of somebody's... What's the downside if somebody is comfortable sleeping with a stuffed animal? What's the downside of that to anybody? It doesn't affect anybody
it's
but me.
It's childish.
We will have that conversation another time.
And it is a psychological indicator of something even worse.
All right. Andy is caller number four then on line six. So in other words, if he says he travels with a stuffed animal...
Then he's lying.
Then he's just like me and just like the people in the survey. If he says then you say the survey is bogus.
Correct. Then you're stunted.
And I'm stunted.
Damage.
Andy, all right, Andy, it's all up to you.
Do you travel with a stuffed animal?
Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
The answer to that is yes.
You do not.
He's making it up.
Tell me what it is. What's the animal?
He's kidding.
It's a teddy bear, and I have a very good reason for that. My mother died when I was very little, and I take it with me on the road, and it just reminds me of her.
Okay, see, so bogus.
Don't buy this.
See,
no,
that's bogus.
You guys, you have to
believe
hinky.
Him. This sounds hinky.
No, you have to believe him.
Wait, you're saying that, Ralph, because you think Andy is making it up?
Yes.
Because he's trying to influence the survey?
Yes, I think he's trying to have a little fun and screw with us and play a little game on the radio.
Absolutely not. Have you ever heard of the Tidy Daddy Diaper Company?
Yeah.
When my mom was pregnant with me, she won this teddy bear. When her water broke, and
see, but now here's the thing: we're taking like this guy's love for his dead mom into account, and that's not what a normal survey.
No. But in this article, if you read further, by the way, they talk about a lot of people do bring their stuffed animals on the road because it reminds them of home, or it's a gift from their wife or girlfriend or something like that. That is kind of all mixed into these people who travel with stuffed animals.
It's got a pretty convincing backstory with the Tidy Daddy Diaper Company and everything else.
And does the bear have a name?
My nickname is Bear Bear.
Okay. Now, have you slept with Bear Bear continuously? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm feeling a lot of shame here right now.
You should.
I'm down with you, Andy. Listen, have you slept with the bear continuously since you were a little kid, or is it something you went back to as an adult?
It's on my dresser.
Then it has been your whole life.
That's
because his mom died. Come on, that's an exception.
Does he sleep with a stuffed animal on the road or not?
Yeah.
Scientific survey is yes. Thank you, Andy.
I got to say under protest.
You're welcome.
I got to say I'm protesting the results
of the
scientific survey.
I had to accept the results of whatever the line for was.
How happy is Bean? Not only
you
was the survey proven true, but we talked to a guy who's creepier than Bean and Andy.
Wow. We're going to talk about this more, I think.
I think we need to phone
her. Dear God.
What about Dr. Drew Pinsky joining us every Thursday here on the Kevin and Bean Show for whatever it is Dr. Drew does? Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Whatever it is I do?
He does a lot. That's why. It's too much for him to recap.
Wow.
He does a lot. He does everything. I'd say
that's my friend.
That was meant to be a compliment.
A compliment,
okay, I'll
yes.
I'll take it that way. Okay.
All right. A couple of quick things for you, Dr. Drew. First of all, I saw a little bit of Kate Goslin on the Life Changers, and here's what I was just telling Kevin off the air. She, of course, was the woman who had the kids with the John and Kate reality show. How many does she have? She has eight, right?
Eight, right.
All right. My problem is not that she has eight kids, although I understand that would make it difficult for her to find, love as a single mom. But it's that she seems like a bitch.
She doesn't seem like a bitch when you meet her in person. I mean,
really?
You're being a little unfair. I mean,
no, we've seen her on her show and how mean she was to her husband.
Yes, I've seen her be a bitch to her husband, who I've also met.
He's a douchebag.
Well, I don't want to say it, Kevin, but as long as you're the one to say it,
sure.
He's not the easiest guy to get along with, and he certainly didn't leave her in a great situation. You know,
right?
I don't know. I'm a defender of Kate. And people hate her.
I hate her.
Kevin, you hate her?
I do, because my wife used to watch that show all the time, and so I'd walk into the TV room and she'd be watching the show.
But
and
you hate anything your wife does?
No. And they'd be on the couch, and poor John would just be sitting there, and she'd just be berating him.
I remember saying that. That looked awful to me too. And I got to admit, back then I thought, God, what a bitch!
She's
got to be a bad woman. But I must tell you, having met her, she's very nice. She's an RN. You forget that she's a professional. And that she's got to raise eight kids and support that, and that's financially almost impossible.
Right, but
and she's doing everything she can to try to make a go of it. And Kevin, you maybe will appreciate this. You have twins. I have triplets.
Yes, yes.
And one thing my wife and I used to say was, you know, people used to get so critical of them being on TV and having cameramen around. I thought, oh my God, if you had eight kids, just that manpower, just having people around, would be a great luxury. I mean, you'd look forward to just having people around. So I didn't see it quite the way the world did. And the kids seem fine. They don't seem harmed by all this. Hopefully they got a little college fund or something set aside for them as a result. So I don't know. I support her. But
you tell her, though, point blank, that eight kids is a deal breaker for all men?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she knows that. She's not stupid. Pretty smart woman. No, she understands she's never going to have sex.
Kids. I mean, it's hard enough with one kid.
Kevin, I'll give that. Next time I speak with her, I'll tell her, Kevin says you will never have sex again.
Correct.
Right. Hey, Dr. Drew, what is your policy? And, of course, you know, every family is different. You look at these the Dungers who have, what, like 20 kids, and they seem like the happiest, most well-adjusted family in the world. But do you have a number at which it's just too goddamn many kids, like
three.
You would advise people?
Three
is the number?
I'm there.
Three is the number? Wait, is three too many?
You feel like it's too damn many, but certainly four is too damn many.
Yeah.
But particularly in this world, I don't understand how people can possibly, again, they properly raise.
That's the problem, is spending enough time with each kid. Not possible.
And then educate them and stuff. It's just unbelievable. But interesting you mentioned the Dugars, because I think something very interesting is happening with them. I think they are having what's called a traumatic reenactment. If you look at their story, their original problem or their experience was their first pregnancy ended in some sort of traumatic miscarriage, and they went,
right.
This is never going to happen again.
Right.
We're just going to have babies until God tells us to stop. And what they're going to end up doing is having another horrible trauma. They're going to keep reenacting this until they
until
have
it. Happens.
And I think
they lost the 20th, right?
That's right. I think it just happened. So it's really
right.
Interesting.
One more thing for you, Dr. Drew. I'm so excited every week that we get to talk to you. No joke. But this, when medical news like this breaks, I always want to hear from you what you think. Is this exciting? This new diet drug that they're starting to talk about a lot this week that apparently is supposed to be amazing. What's the story on it?
Interesting, over at CNN, the female producers really were talking a lot about this. I was surprised at how much energy this sort of consumed this morning. It's a new pill called Qnexa. It was originally sort of held up by the FDA and now suddenly pushed through, I think mostly because there have not been any pharmacological kinds of solutions for obesity since back in the days of Zenical, if you remember that, and those sorts of medications. But this is two medicines that have been around for a long time. One is fentanyl. Do you remember Fen-Phen?
Yes.
Well, this is one of the products.
Wait, that was bad, wasn't it?
That was bad.
Okay.
And by the way, in my opinion, fentanyl, still bad.
Okay.
And they've combined it with something called topiramate. It's also, the trade name is Topamax. And I've used Topamax in low dose for years to suppress people's appetite. It actually works very, very well. I don't understand why they just didn't relabel Topamax, why they had to throw in the damn fentanyl, which makes it, I think, a bad drug. So I don't know.
Topamax by itself would be even better.
That's what I think.
All
because fentanyl is speed. I mean, it will, and now everyone's going to want to take it, of course. But
yeah. Is it supposed to speed up your metabolism? Is that why people?
Yeah,
use
I'm
it?
Sure it's the combination of speeding that up and then suppressing your appetite.
It's primarily suppressing appetite, though. That's really primarily the thing. And again, if you're not an addict, this is a good product. This is good. If you're a diabetic, you're obese, and you're not an addict. I would recommend this. But if you have any potential of being an addict, stick with the Topamax. And by the way, that works by itself. Just hasn't been approved for that yet.
All right, we're out of time, but I do want to mention that today's episode of Life Changers is a rerun, and it is Honey Boo Boo. And
Honey Boo Boo Child,
you must see Honey Boo Boo Child.
Oh Lord, have mercy! And I've not yet recovered from having drunk the Go Go juice.
When you see Dr. Drew drinking the Go Go juice, which just is so gross, and then you see this little kid do it, I think she calls it the Daisy Duke dance or something like that. You have to see it. That's the second of two episodes of Life Changers this afternoon at 3. Don't miss Dr. Drew on his HLN show at 6 o'clock. And, of course, 5 nights a week with our own friend Mike Catherwood here on Loveline on K-Rock. Thanks, Doc.
Thanks,
brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Folks have been asking when we're going to go back and do Hollywood Babylon, me and Kevin Smith. And I just want to give people a heads up. This Saturday, we return after a couple of weeks off at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater up on City Walk. You can go to thelovitz.com for tickets. If you want to come out to Saturday night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I making fun of people with more money and better careers than ours.
You haven't had an outlet for that for a couple of weeks now. Do you have to like take notes and go, I need to remember to...
It was very strange when I was on vacation, you know, because I was cut off from... And I made this a conscious decision at the request of my wife to leave behind the internet and...
it hurts!
And Twitter and all that stuff behind. Just disconnect. Just unplug...
No.
Go on this cruise. Go to the Caribbean islands.
Bean couldn't do that. But.
And not read news, not answer emails, not follow Twitter, nothing. No contact whatsoever. And at the end of the week, I said, I haven't been angry all week.
Really?
It's so odd to not have my blood boiling about something or someone that said something and made me
Is that good
curious.
Or bad?
It was good, I think, probably for me to give myself a week off from that sort of feeling. It's but since I've been
wife.
Back, I've
it's
been
good for your wife too.
Been great for her. I've been storing up all sorts of bile that I need to spew. So I'm looking forward.
See
to
See what happens
Saturday
when
night.
You take Snooki out of your life. All of a sudden, things look a little better.
Yeah, there was
they?
No Snooki. There were no Kardashians. There was no Lindsay Lohan. There was no.
Some people live that way. Can you imagine?
And everyone in the islands do.
Yeah.
You go there, and there I went. I went to a bar. On the islands, I mentioned this before, my favorite bar, the Soggy Dollar Bar, and Joost van Dijk.
Sure.
In the British Virgin Islands, and there was a clock behind the bar, and the clock only had days on it. So the hand of the clock was, what time is it? Oh, it's Wednesday. That was it. That's all you need to know. That's all they cared
great.
About. And if you're a big customer service person, if you're one of those people who sits down for lunch and then wants to order and then have your meal delivered minutes later... The island's not your vacation.
Not the place, because they work at a little slower pace.
You'll get it.
Yeah.
You'll get it. That's what? Sort of the sense. It will come. Your lunch will show up.
You settle down.
Relax. Where are you going? You got nothing to do, no place to go.
Ralph, do you think you would like to live like that full time?
I do.
Okay.
I could very much. If it wasn't for my my vampiric sort of allergy to the sun.
Sure.
It would be a little slice of heaven. I could very much.
And, your desire to earn a living, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. I'd have to have all kinds of FU money, but it isn't going to happen anytime soon. But it would be quite the idyllic existence if you could do that. So,
all right.
Anyway, I'm all stored up. I got all my anger back, and I will be venting it Saturday night at 10 p.m. on the stage at the Lovitz with Kevin Smith. So come on out and see us. We'd love to have you.
You're very talented, and I strive to be everything you are.
I'll be talking about Kourtney Kardashian and her drunken, abusive boyfriend, Scott Disick. They have announced the sex of their second child. It is a girl. Poor kid.
Yeah. Is that all they have in that family is girls?
No, they had a boy before. Mason was their first child. Kourtney's and Scott's first child was Mason, and now they're going to have a daughter in July. So...
Can you imagine just all of the different bad angles of that family? I mean, you got Chloe, and you got Kim, and you got their mom especially.
And Scott Disick.
Scott Disick's your dad. And
he's around the fringes of everything.
That kid has no chance.
Nah.
And Chloe must just cry herself to sleep all night because she's the one who's trying to get pregnant, wants to get pregnant, and then Kourtney seems to be able to get pregnant whatever she wants by this douchebag.
As we've learned from science, two different species can't mate, and so she's coming up zips.
Because she married a human, right?
That's right, you know. That's the price you pay when you want to cross the species lines for love, then you're going to have to pay something in the long run. Bobby Brown, just less than a week after his ex-wife's funeral, Entertainment Weekly's announcing he is working on a tell-all book about Whitney and Houston and his relationship with her.
Oh, that's sweet. Oh, wait.
That's nice. I bet it's going to be quite the tribute.
Yeah.
I was able to pull the galleys of this book. I had a sample sent to me by some friends, and here's a little piece of it. Me like drugs, Whitney like drugs, me, Whitney, do drugs, 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 drugs. It's from the first chapter.
Huh. It is the first chapter.
It's the whole first chapter. And then there's a stick figure drawn, and then it looks to be holding something that looked like drugs.
It's going to be a good book.
While we're talking about Whitney, you've seen the cover of the ever-classy National Enquirer or not, but yesterday they posted their cover photo, which includes what they are saying is the final photograph of Whitney Houston. It's a picture of her lying in her coffin.
Yeah, I don't need to see that.
That someone snapped, probably using a cell phone, at the private viewing at the Wiggum Funeral Home in Newark, New Jersey, just before her funeral.
You know they had security? You know that person had to, like, sneak the phone?
How much work did you have to go through to get that photograph?
No, thanks.
So, I'd like to think otherwise, but I'm assuming it'll be a very hot-selling issue, and people will pick it up. And Meatloaf! Meatloaf's coming back to television.
I love the Loaf.
Oh,
what's he up to?
I love the Loaf. He's going to be guest starring in one of our favorite shows, Fairly Legal, starring the lovely Sarah Shahi.
I like that show.
Oh, nice.
By the way, she owes us an appearance, damn it.
Oh, yeah, she does. You're right.
For a long time now.
Yep. It's true.
Maybe she'll come back now the show's coming back on the air.
But ladies and gentlemen, Meat Loaf!
He will play a union boss on the show who wields his power with an iron fist, it says here.
I bet he loses his temper.
I bet he does.
That happens.
And he screams at Gary Busey, where's my paint?
You think going forward, Gary is going to hurt your team? Even if you win tonight.
Okay, I'm going to lay it out to you straightforward.
Uh-oh, he's got a breakdown. He's going to blow.
Meatloaf has always been very precise in his speaking in the boardroom that I've seen so far, but I almost sense the frustration in your voice. I mean, you're almost stuttering that you're having such a hard time dealing with this. I mean, is that
I'm not angry at all.
Yeah.
The point of anger. It's
rage.
It's frustration.
Fury.
Oh, thank God the loaf is back.
Just an explosion.
He was 1 second away from that.
Loaf all over the walls. And from one loaf to another, Amber Riley, who plays Mercedes on Glee, she...
Little Precious.
Uh-huh. She had to drop a press release saying that she's dropped 2 dress sizes.
Wow.
Because no one noticed. So she had to tell everyone, look how much thinner I am.
That's rough when you go from a 28 to a 26.
Still not seeing it, but best of luck. She said... It had nothing to do with her size. She's always been very happy with her size, she says.
Right. Sure.
It was for health reasons that she changed her diet, and now she is rocking a much more svelte body, she claims. I've seen the photos, people. Don't buy it.
Well, she's pretty. I mean,
she's a very pretty girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's not thin.
She's not thin. Right.
Yeah. Why don't you relax? They have a couple more. Talk to us a couple more dress sizes.
Fat girls.
Girth.
We'll all be very impressed. Today's celebrity birthdays. Peter Fonda, 72 years old today. Actress Kristen Davis from Sex and the City. Sex in the City?
Sex and the
City. Sex and the City. 47 years old today. My wife's going to be very angry. I didn't know the complete title of that series.
She'd be proud of that.
Niecy Nash is 42. Lasse Johansson from The Cardigans. I love that song.
Sort of a catchy song.
Very catchy. Yeah. She is, he is 39 years old today. Are they still together, the Cardigans? Are they still rocking?
They are.
Are they doing the...
Together, I don't know, rocking.
Are they doing the Swedish county fair circuit or something, if there is such a thing?
I don't know the level of gigs that they still have, but they do put out records still on a fairly regular basis.
We got to get him in here, interview him again.
That was a good interview. You guys did a good job. There's no rush for that.
The lovely Kelly McDonald from Boardwalk Empire is 36 years old. Aziz Ansari, very funny man from Parks and Recreation, 29. Emily Blunt, also 29 today. And Dakota Fanning today celebrates her 18th birthday. We've watched her growing up right in front of our very eyes.
Yeah.
Now we're watching her be 18.
She seems like she's 18 going on 30, though.
She seems like she was 11 going on 30.
Always 8. Right. Remember when they would interview her and she was 8?
Yeah.
And she'd be at some movie premiere. She's like, well, when I was studying for the role, I decided that I would create an inner monologue for this character, and I would go back and do some research.
I never understood what she was talking about.
No, Kevin was completely flummoxed.
But in her defense, by the way, she is the anti-Lindsay Lohan in that you can point to her as a child star who grew up very gracefully into adulthood and I think is going to continue to have a successful career.
We'll see. She's 18 now. Pull the ripcord. Anything can happen. Chateau Marmont, here she comes. Stock up on Clicquot because she's 18 and she's thirsty. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Got a bunch of videos for you to look at today. KevinAndBean.com, KRock.com, the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. There are a couple of them that don't have audio, so we can't really focus on them as much as we should, like Ariana Celeste's Complex video.
And, yeah, you can put the sound down on that, and that'd be fine anyway.
And the Brittany Palmer Playboy shoot behind the scenes.
Put the sound down enough for that one.
Both of those are up and are super watchable, so you should probably do that. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Mike Realm. You should be. He remixes videos, and he's probably the best at it, to me. And he has done the Hunger Games. This is his Mike Realm's Hunger Games remix.
I'm here to make you look pretty. I'm here to help you make an impression. This is the time to show them everything.
So he does it with music, the audio with music, and then he puts the video to it as well. It really is something. It's amazing.
How long till the movie companies start hiring him to do their trailers? Don't you think that Hunger Games remix that he did is better than the actual trailer?
Makes me want to watch it even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Tampa reporter who's doing a report from the streets, and she's talking about gas prices, and while she's doing her report, there's a pretty bad accident right behind her.
Oh.
And she barely flinches and barely even turns around.
Oil and gas prices go up.
flight costs go up too, so we could see fewer people driving.
Spun out right behind you. Did you see that, Adrian?
I liked that fewer people driving was her out cue right when there was an actual accident.
I know. I didn't, but now I did, so we're going to
go on it.
Yeah, it looks like maybe a cab gotten in an accident out here.
And probably shocked by the gas prices.
Yeah, way to bring it back around.
Yeah, they were probably looking at you doing a stand-up in front of the gas station.
I agree, Lisa. It was the television lights that distracted one of those drivers that caused the accident. I honestly believe that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, how much does this fly in the face of human nature? Everything in your body wants to turn around when you hear an accident happen 20 feet behind you to see what happened.
Right.
But and she doesn't.
In movies, when there's explosions and the guys don't turn around, doesn't faze them, I always go, wow, that's cool.
Right. Yeah.
I could never
because they're walking
that.
Away with the flames right. behind them.
But they know it's coming. She didn't.
Yeah.
She's that person.
And then the anchor in the studio says, clearly knowing that the reporter did not turn around and did not see the accident, hey, did you see that?
This is Hannah Minks. She is YouTube's big boob Japanese instructor. And when we say big boob, all three letters in big are capital. Just gigantic boobs. And she's showing you and telling you how to say and do push-ups.
They're pretty hard to do, but feels good to have a nice indosuru. Check out my push-ups. Ichi.
Counting.
Ni.
Yeah, she's trying to teach you Japanese. That's what the Japanese point of the video is. She teaches you new words every time she does it, and then she, in some cases, gives an example. Not that I subscribe to Hannah's channel, but I'm just saying that's what she does. And it's worth your time looking out if you're interested in Japanese.
And by the way, BS push-up. She barely has to go down at all.
You know? Yeah, that's true.
Because she starts off half an inch from the ground.
Her boobs are already there. So she doesn't really have to do anything. This is Dion Cole, who's begging Asians to leave basketball alone. This is a writer on the Conan O'Brien show. And he comes out, and this is all about Jeremy Lin and how he does. Basketball's a black sport, he says. And let's keep it that way.
I'm nervous because I don't want Asians taking over basketball like they took over hip-hop dancing. Oh, that hurts. But I guess we hurt Asians as well when we made up a rap group called Wu-Tang Clan.
So basically, he just comes out there and he just says, please, we know you can do it. Just let us have it.
Well, there's a very real danger now of the NBA being suddenly all Asian because of the success of Jeremy Lin of the Knicks. And Dion is very funny. We've had him as a guest on the Kevin DeBate Show. He's a really funny dude.
This is a college basketball game. The announcer is sitting on one of those stools, and that stool does not support his weight, and he falls right in the middle of their report. And college basketball games, just notoriously crazy loud. The crowd's going nuts, and everything's going on like that.
I'm James Bates. Well, they're ready to rock.
He literally fell all the way backwards, so now he's laying on the basketball court, still yelling.
I guess okay, we're ready up. To rock here. Let's keep it going in the Cintas Center. You see how rough things are? Woo! You know what? A big-time rivalry, not a big-time stool.
Good one. Not a big-time stool. Is not what you ever want to hear. After the Grammys, who the F is Paul McCartney?
Okay, this is funny.
Paul McCartney came onto the Grammys. He was singing, like, I don't know, for 45 minutes. I don't know why, but he was. And then this is a trending topic on Twitter. And then who is Paul McCartney? They explain to people who don't know.
Paul McCartney was born Sir Paul McCartney a hella long time ago, probably in Europe or somewhere. He was born a boy, even though he kind of looks like that bitch from Murder, She Wrote. But Sir Paul's greatest fame came when he performed at the Grammy Awards, making him the most random white dude to perform since those guys in the suburbs last year. He sang a song about Valentine's, and it was a long-ass song.
They, of course, never get to who he is.
Right, exactly. He's a mystery.
Here's a little kid that is upset that LeBron James is not in the slam dunk contest. I think it's this weekend. Is it the NBA All-Star
game? Yes, NBA All-Star game, right.
So Saturday night, they usually do the slam dunk contest, and this kid is upset that it's the younger players that participate, and it's not LeBron James.
Why won't you play in the dunk contest this year, man? I don't want to see no rookies, from Minnesota dunking in. I want to see you. I want you to go up there and, like, go smash the ball from, like, half court or something, jump from the three-point line. Like, do a between-the-leg windmill reverse or something, whatever LeBron does. It's the NBA where magic happens, not where rookies go, because the All-Stars just at the hotel clubbing and drinking and stuff, man. Come on.
Come on.
You go, little man. You call out LeBron James. Nice done.
And finally, Jimmy Kimmel Live this week in unnecessary censorship, where he puts beeps and blurps in places that he doesn't really need to, but it makes it sound a lot worse than it is.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
You got a long way to go before everybody who wants a job can find one.
Rick Santorum's recent wins are really f***ing things up.
There's a difference between compromising and f***ing.
So that happens, and it's a lot longer than that as well. You can see all of these videos. There's a bunch more as well. It's Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup at KRock.com or Kevin and Bean next.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
You can't say stuff like that and expect us just to move on.
No, I'm just saying.
Just don't be so creepy.
There's nothing creepy about wanting a souvenir. It's the Kevin and Bean Show here at 9:43. Ralph Garman joins us for our final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday. What's going on?
Quick apology. I've been telling people to buy tickets to a show that's already sold out.
Oh.
Oh, really?
People are angry. Don't tell me to go to your site and buy your stupid tickets and it's sold out. I can't buy them.
What happened now?
I accept your scorn. It was foolish of me. I should have done some research before I asked you to do that. So I apologize.
So buy tickets?
No, don't. Well, you can't.
I see.
So just show up tomorrow night and they'll let you in.
Don't show up.
Tell me on Ralph's list.
We are at capacity, which, trust me, it was a big surprise to me as it was to anyone. So thank you so much, everybody. But there's always the week after.
Yeah.
Come on, people, now. Smile on your brother. All right, I want to give away some tickets.
File.
To a movie that I can't wait to see, Project X. It's called.
Yay!
Probably seen the trailers by now. Three high school students try to stand out by throwing the party of their lives, and I think things get a little out of hand.
It does look that way.
That's my guess. I just know that I'm hoping some Yahoo morning show DJs will be talking about the destruction caused by that party after the fact.
Look, we recorded some stuff. We don't know if they're going to use it.
Oh, you guys did it?
We don't know.
I had no idea. I just heard that some Yahoo morning show DJs were in the movie.
But we don't know if they're going to use it, and we wouldn't blame them if they didn't. So
I know Jimmy Kimmel's in it.
Yes,
he's talking about.
Yeah.
That's
happening.
The destruction caused by it.
Looks good. Looks like a good movie either way.
I'd like at some point, maybe as we get closer to the movie opening, to talk to our listeners who have been involved in parties that have just gotten that out of hand, where fires break out, the police come, and everything like that, and people end up at the pool. I mean, this party looks like everything that could go wrong slash right does.
I remember a college party I was at somebody's house, and a drunken food fight broke out.
Sweet.
In the kitchen. When that next morning, that kitchen was unrecognizable. Just walls caked with ketchup and Cheerios and flour. I mean, pretty much anything that could be grabbed out of a cabinet or drawer was grabbed and thrown.
That's so funny when you're drunk. And
it was hilarious.
But then when you're hungover the next day and you walk in there, you go, oh, no.
And it wasn't my home, but I felt so enormously guilty that I stayed around hungover and tried to help them clean up the best
just
I could.
Hose it out?
But it was off-campus houses. It was like rented homes with some friends of mine, you know. And that kitchen never was fully clean, as you can imagine with college students. They were finding Cheerios for years after fact. It was just a nightmare. If you'd like to go see the red carpet world premiere of Project X, then why wouldn't you? It's a great movie, and you get to go to one of those cool red carpet world premieres. It's happening at the Grauman's Chinese Theater in beautiful downtown Hollywood on February the 29th. The movie's in theaters everywhere on March the 2nd. But you'll be one of the first people on the planet to see it, along with the cast and creators of that film. So if you'd like to go, first five callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers to get through will get a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere of Project X. Rooney Mara, talking about movies, was talking to Us Weekly magazine. Everyone's asking about her nipple.
Yeah.
Because she has famously said that she got herself all kinds of pierced for the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo role, and has taken them all out since, except for her nipple ring.
Yes.
Which she is leaving in, not because she finds it particularly titillating.
Nice.
No pun intended. But should they make the other two films based on the books, she doesn't want to have to go through that all over again. So she's leaving that in, just in case duty calls and she's got to go back to work.
Those boobs are spectacular as well, by the way.
Dedication.
Spectacular.
Yeah, does that hurt, Lisa, to get your nipples pierced?
I don't know, Bean.
Oh, really? Come on, Lisa.
I have no idea. Mugs, I would imagine
you've got
it does.
A 20-gauge bar in each. I've seen them.
Muggs, does that hurt to get your boobs pierced?
I've never had it.
Oh, no. Okay.
That would seem like the last place on earth. Well, not the second to last place on earth I'd get a piercing.
I definitely think that's a
sensitive area that you just don't want to tamper with. But those who are into it say it's liberating, and they see God when it happens, and there's double rainbows, and everything happens magical.
I'd see God in person
when you go
if that happens.
When you go through that pain, apparently some people are turned on by it. While we're talking about boobs, Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, which returns in a mere month, I think. We get to see
March,
again. March 25th, I believe. She said growing up, she was bullied in high school, which makes me so angry at those people. I just want to go beat them up. Give me a list, Christina. I'll straighten them out.
Probably by other girls because she developed at age 6, right?
There was that, and also she was a goth kid in high school.
Hmm.
Which meant she had purple hair and black makeup, and her hair was shaved at the back, and she was acting out. She said there was sort of a gauntlet she had to run in high school where there was a long corridor of lockers on either side, and kids would sit on top of the lockers and spit on you as you went by.
Sweet!
That not only is cruel, but unhygienic, in my opinion.
Your rack is unreal.
What saved her? Drama. She went to the theater department and found her place there with the other kids, and that's how she became an actress, because they accepted her where other people wouldn't. If she could tell her 14-year-old self anything, she said, I'd go back in time and say, don't worry, you're going to be doing exactly what you want to be doing, and those people who are assholes now are still going to be assholes in 20 years. So that is the ultimate revenge. It gets better, Kevin, is what she's saying.
I see.
If you grew up to look like Christina Hendricks, you'd get on Mad Men.
Yes.
Check out those gigantic knockers.
Here's a follow-up that I am pleased to announce as late-breaking news on the Kevin and Bean Show in the Showbiz Report, Ralph, if true. Okay?
All right.
Dave tells me that the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, got a tweet from somebody who has seen Project X.
Oh.
According to this listener, they use Kevin, no Bean.
What?
According to this listener, we need to find out more. Apparently, I've been cut out of the movie. Kevin's still in.
But here's what I'll say about that.
That's classic.
About 10% of our listeners can tell us apart.
Right.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's true. Very, very easy that I was cut out in that being so.
So we're gonna have to see. But that would be hilarious.
Well, it is
if
a comedy. And if you wanted to use someone on the radio that was hysterical, if I was the director, I would also pick Kevin.
How dare you.
So, there was a big party last night on not gonna wanna be cleaning up the house pretty time now here soon.
Maybe they would use Kevin because he sounds like he was at the party.
That's possible.
How dare you. You all.
Maybe I'm a good actor.
Maybe you are.
No.
Don't make me pull out the OC.
Nope.
You want to pull out a little Blind Melon?
No, I'll rescind that.
Okay.
I am not a good actor.
All right. And more celebrity boob news. Octavia Spencer nominated for an Oscar. Of course, they are this Sunday. I think they started at 5 or 6 local time.
I believe so.
Is
it 6?
Yeah. Yeah. She is nominated for an Academy Award, and she has told Parade magazine that the first gift to herself to celebrate being nominated will be to get her boobs lifted.
All right.
The Best Supporting Actress nominee for The Help says, she's going into her 40s, and I want my boobs where they were when I was 17.
Right on.
I'd like my boobs where they were when they were 17, too. So she's going to give herself a little treat and get a little lift. So.
Listen up, ladies.
Perky. Perky's the answer.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays that are somewhere
on a piece of paper.
Here. There we go.
In the other room.
Hiding from me. Dakota Fanning celebrates her 18th birthday today. What a talented young actress. Where did we first see her? Does anyone remember? Was it I Am Sam?
I don't remember.
That was a big breakout role for her. I don't know if it was her first movie, but yeah, she was great in it.
Sean Penn played a developmentally challenged gentleman, and she was his daughter, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
Yeah. She's 18 years old today, Dakota Fanning is. Emily Blunt is 29 years old, married to the talented John Krasinski. What a lovely couple they make. She's 29 years old today. Aziz Ansari, also 29. Kelly MacDonald from Boardwalk Empire is 36. She also did a TV movie in the UK with Bill Nighy, very talented British actor. And I know it sounds like a very dry subject, about the G4 Summit.
Oh, I saw that.
And they meet in a cafeteria there.
Yeah, it's
there.
A really, really,
really
sweet
charming
story.
Love story. If you ever get a chance, check it out.
Nope.
Come on, Kevin.
Failed to impress
look
me.
Look at some good things
you
once
failed.
In a while.
That failed to impress
I
me.
I warned you that it sounds odd, but it turns out actually to be an entertaining film.
Mm.
Lasse Johansson of The Cardigans. He's their guitarist and keyboardist. He's 39 years old today. Niecy Nash of Reno 911 is 42. Kristen Davis of Sex and the City fame is 47. And Peter Fonda, actor and director, I guess best known for his classic film Easy Rider, 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we're going to meet quite the individual. We're going to talk to Bean's Twitter follower, Twitter friend. Mm-hmm. And she follows one person, and it's Bean. And she has no followers.
Why even have Twitter if that's what you're going to do?
That's what we're going to tell her. You know, something else will come along soon.
Shut it down. Just shut it down. Just delete the Twitter app from your computer.
You can miss Twitter. Probably something else new will come along in a year or two. You'll be right back in it. Don't worry about it.
Look, I don't know this dear woman. She's a fan of the show, though. And I don't think we need to be mean to her or try to run her off.
Not being mean.
But I'd like
just
to say
maybe Twitter's not for her.
If she's what a bad use of technology.
Maybe follow some Kevin and some Ralph and some Lisa.
No, maybe she doesn't understand how Twitter works. Maybe she thinks you just get one.
If you were going to pick one, though, like you're going to pick only one. That's the rule.
Yeah.
Is it Bean?
No, I get like O.J. Simpson or somebody less offensive.
Movie Beat. Also tomorrow, we are going to talk to Matt Atchity, who runs Rotten Tomatoes, about the Academy Awards this weekend. We have comedian Frank Caliendo. We have LaQuisha talking about Jersey Shore. Wow. We have Adam Carolla in studio.
Yeah.
And we have Jimmy Kimmel talking about his Oscar special.
Come on, that's too much.
We should spread Fridays out over the week.
No doubt.
Sometimes. No doubt.
No doubt. Come on.